Good to have all of you today. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Jesus shows up in this place. Are we glad? Very glad, huh? Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. God is so good. I love serving a Jesus that does what He says in His Word, don't you? A Jesus that heals His people, forgives His people of sin. I love it. In fact, we're just having such a good time serving Jesus here. I think that God is doing such a great work. In case you haven't heard, we are approaching the end of the age. So Jesus is coming. I believe all of y'all probably believe Jesus is just right around the corner. We're fixing to go into the tribulation period, and then the great tribulation period is just around the corner. Don't that sound like fun? Hey, praise God. If you're a child of God and you're obedient, you have nothing to sweat. If you're not a child of God, you're not an obedient child of God, then you go to have... You ain't gonna like it. You ain't gonna like it, but it's close. In fact, I believe that, and some of you may or may not keep up with the events that's going on in the world, but I believe that we're so close to a nuclear war in the Middle East that it's just unbelievable. I just think that it just any day, it wouldn't surprise me any morning to wake up and they say, Israel, Iran, and Russia are at war. Well, when that happens, we're in the beginning of the tribulation period. We're there. So if there was ever a time on this earth, a good time to know Jesus, it's right now. Of course, it's always been a good time to know Jesus, because the thing about it is what so many people don't believe anymore, that they don't believe that Jesus is even real. They don't believe God. They don't believe He's real. In fact, I just got WorldNet Daily. I subscribe to them, and of course I donate a little money to them once in a while, so they send me emails along with many other organizations to keep me abreast of what's going on. And I got an email this morning from them where that in Arizona, in Gilbert, Arizona. Anybody know where that's at? In Arizona, in that little town, there's a pastor and seven people. He had a little private Bible study once a week in his home so what could seven people, if every one of them come in their own car, it couldn't be but seven cars, but probably there was some, probably two or three couples, and maybe a straggler, but maybe a couple of cars, but... Somebody in Gilbert, Arizona found out they were having Bible study, and that's against the zoning laws, and so they told them they couldn't have a Bible study in their home. I might have to tell them to take a flying leap. I might just have to get down and say, okay, Lord, we're going to do some praying here, and we're going to break the power of the devil over this place. Because the longer we as Christians sit back and do nothing, the better hold the devil gets on the world. Yeah, he's done a good job, hasn't he? He's done a really good job. And I told some of the people I was talking to a while ago outside about, or inside, whatever it was, we were talking about some of the things. This last week I listened to Sid Roth. How many of you have ever heard of Sid Roth? Okay, that I happened to have the privilege of meeting Sid Roth a few years ago, 9 or 10 years ago, when he had me on his show, and we'd done Caitlin's Miracle. Some of you may have seen that 30-minute show. It's an awesome testimony to the grace of our God and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to raise up my granddaughter. And of course, somebody, while we were standing outside a while ago, said, "Who's that little girl over there running around with a dog?" I said, "That's Caitlin. She is outside chasing her puppy. She's 12 years old now." But this man, that was on Sid Roth's show this last week. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had never heard of him, but they said his name was John Finn. And anybody ever heard of John Finn? A few of you, not very many. Of course, I hadn't heard of him either till this last week. But John has had three visitations from the Lord where he got to see Jesus. Now, I've never got to see him, but I've sure heard his voice a lot of times. And he's spoken to me audibly many times in my life. I don't even know how many times I've heard God's audible voice, but it, to me it sounds audible anyway. But I don't have any problem knowing what I'm supposed to do when he gets through telling me. In fact, I'll just tell you sometimes how simple God can speak to you so audibly. Here a while back, we were had a church service on Sunday, and we got through, and Cheryl and I had to go minister to a couple, and I asked Phil, I said, will you please shut the church down and turn the lights and everything off, because I don't know how long the people are going to stay and look at CDs and DVDs and stuff and talk, but I've got to be somewhere at 6 o'clock to meet to this couple. And so I said, if you'll take care of closing up for me, I'd appreciate it. He said, no problem, I'll take care of it for you. Well, we drove off and left and went and ministered to these people and did everything. And finally, about 11 o'clock at night, we finally got back to the church. I walked into my office, turned on my computer, and I thought, well, I'll read a few emails before I go to bed. Sat down in my office, turned the computer on, and just as clear as a bell, like he's standing right here, he said, son, go check the bathrooms in the church. I thought, go check the bathrooms in the church. I wonder what's wrong with the bathrooms in the church. But I thought, God, if the king of the universe tells you to go check the bathrooms in the church, guess what you better do? He has a plan, doesn't he? I didn't have a clue what it was. So I got up, come down the hallway, and walked in here and went around to the bathrooms around there where they all are in that little corridor, and walked into the first one, turned the light on, looked at everything. Everything looks normal. Turned the light out, walked over to the second one, turned the light on, looked around. Everything looked normal. Went to the third one, turned the light on, and the cold water faucet was running wide open. I stood there and I thought, God, you're even interested in wasting water. I said, Lord, if you hadn't have told me that, it might have been a week before I come back in there. You know, and that water, you know, a full stream of water out of a faucet can run a lot in a week. Thousands of gallons of water could have went down that system, but God didn't want me to waste that water. And so he literally spoke to me, son, go check the bathrooms in the church. Now, you know, if you're attached to the king of the universe, you don't have to worry about nothing. He'll tell you. You know, if you're obedient and your heart is soft and you're walking humbly before him, all these things he says in his word, he'll talk to you. He'll tell you things. And I can't think of nobody I'd rather have as my captain than my Jesus. Can you? But anyway, this guy that was on Sid Roth's show called John Finn, he said he had had three visitations from God. And whenever he has these visitations, of course, God speaks to him and talks to him and tells him things. But he said in 2005, he had an awesome experience. He said, I'm driving down the road. And said, and he was a pastor of a church up in Tulsa, I believe Tulsa or Oklahoma City, one of the places, Tulsa, I believe. But anyway, he said, I'm driving down the road and I'm just talking to the Lord out loud, like a lot of us do. And he said, Lord, we just come out of a situation with Bill Clinton as president. We have a new president now, George Bush. But he said, you know, I look and see what happened with Clinton and all the bad things that happened. And then I look and think about 9/11 and how that, you know, we've got all the destruction and the devastation in New York City. He said, Lord, I don't even hardly recognize my own country. And this was in 2005. He said, Lord spoke to me audibly, said I didn't see him this time, but he spoke to me audibly driving down the road and said, there's going to be another president that's going to come in and he's going to put a lot of changes in effect in America. Now, that's come to pass. He said he's going to implement many new programs and said all the programs he puts in will be implemented. I didn't like that. Because if they force this health care plan through, wow. I mean, if you haven't read some of the stuff that's in that, you ain't going to like it. I guarantee you ain't going to like it. And all of us, from the littlest to the biggest of us, are going to pay this bill forever as long as we're here. We may not be here long, according to what he just said. He said, but there'll be a new president that'll put all these plans, he'll implement all these new plans. He said, after he gets them all implemented, I will strike America with two gigantic hurricanes like they've never been hit with. Then he said, I will strike America with three earthquakes like she has never experienced. And when I get through with America, you will not recognize America. Good news to start off with the healing school. Yeah, top that, huh? He said it all will happen from the time he spoke to him in 2005. It will all happen within a 10-year period. So we're halfway through it. We're 2000 from 2005. We're 2010. And, of course, it very well, like I say, if the Ezekiel war starts this year, which I believe it's going to. I mean, I'm not going to be the least bit surprised any morning that I wake up and somebody says, well, Israel and Iran and Russia are shooting missiles at each other and we got a war and we got some, and if you look on the TV, they'll have nuclear blasts that'll be blasting over there in that part of the world. I don't have a problem with that. But all I got to say is that God said in His Word, when they come against me, when these nations come against Israel, He said, I will annihilate them. He said, the Russians, when the Russians come against Israel, God will only leave 1 out of 6 Russian soldiers alive to go home. Those that come against, I will kill them. 5 out of 6 is going to die on the fields of Israel. Then he said, Israel will spend the next 7 months burying the dead. That sounds like a pretty serious war, doesn't it? Pretty serious. But is it a good time to know Jesus? Amen. I ain't never seen a time. I thought it was a better time to know Jesus. Because if you're a child of God, He promises to deliver you from that wrath. That's good news, isn't it? We don't have to sweat it. He promises us not a hair on our head will be damaged or harmed if we'll be obedient and love Him and serve Him and obey Him and do what He says. It's kind of like the little deal all of you I know about this, but we'll just talk a little bit about these things to start out with. But, you know, as many of you know, that Pat Robertson made a statement on television about Haiti and the world crucified him. I mean, he spoke truth. What he said was true. I mean, Haiti made a pact with the devil, you know, and voodoo was their national god, you know. And then, of course, whenever that expired, supposedly in 2004, well, a group of Christians went down there to Haiti and tried to get the president to let them have a national day of fasting and prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ on the grounds of the big, beautiful, white temple or whatever you call that thing, presidential palace or whatever you call it, is a beautiful thing in Haiti. And he absolutely said no, never. Well, I can just see God now. He said, well, okay, you guys don't want me. You're not going to let my people come in and fast and pray. I will just do a little bitty thump around Haiti, and I'll shake it with about a 7.0, and I'll destroy every building, and I'll kill 500,000 people, and then I'll see if I can get y'all's attention. Did he get their attention? Boy, did he get their attention. When you bury people with a front end loader in open graves, and every building in the city of Port-au-Prince is destroyed, I mean, will that get your attention? Now then, the president, he didn't wait for them to come back. He went to them. He now wants these revivals on his palace grounds, and he wants them to have them from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening, fasting and praying in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And for 3 days in a row, I watched over 1 million Haiti people. Praise God. Yeah, give God a hand. That's what I say. Just praise Him and worship Him and thank Him. He is worthy of our praise. He definitely got their attention because he wanted a national day of prayer, and so they give it to him. And so for 3 days in a row, there was over 1 million Haitians in attendance in an open grounds as they worshiped and praised and fasted and prayed to the King of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Haiti ain't never had nothing like this. Never in the last at least 200 years. But let me tell you, God knows how to get your attention. Now then, that little 7.0, just a few weeks later, he had another one just a little bit bigger, an 8.8. You know, I had no idea until Dave printed out for me the equivalent in tons of TNT these things are, but they're exponential. I mean, you know, the 7.0 and the 8.8, it ain't just 2 points bigger, you might say. I mean, I wished I'd have brought that little deal out here and I could have told you, but one of them went from like, I forget, the 7.0 was like 5 billion tons of TNT, but the 8.8 was like 30 billion tons of TNT. You know, a billion tons of TNT? And then, of course, if it goes to a 12, if we ever have a 12 is equivalent to 160 trillion tons of TNT. Now, the Lord says in His Word, in Revelation chapter 6, that He's going to bring in the last days a great earthquake. Now, think about what He said. The great earthquake that He's going to bring in the last days is going to level every mountain, every island is going to sink. Is that a pretty big one? Now that's a big one. So I think, wow, when God shakes the earth, wow. So there's some interesting things happening right now. I mean, you know, and of course, I don't know if you've Have any of you been here yet heard about Planet X? Okay, so a few of you have, okay. Planet X is on the way, you know, and so I just taught on that. You may have listened to one of my teachings I've done about that and how the Lord says that in Isaiah 24, how He's going to shake the world and He's going to turn it upside down and He's going to sling off the inhabitants. That's all written in Isaiah 24. You know, but you read that and you think, no, that couldn't happen. But with God, it can happen. You know, He can do that. So, like I say, this is a good time to know Jesus. You know, really a good time. But if you're sick and afflicted, it's also a good time to know Jesus. And if you're not sick and afflicted, it's also a good time to know Jesus, isn't it, brother? I might just ask for a second here. I'm just thinking about this fine young man from Oklahoma. Here and his family. How long ago was it when you came here with your stroke?
December of 08.
December of 08, this young man, he could barely walk when he came here that day. And he had had a stroke. He had never heard that sin is what causes these kind of things. But that day he figured out what his sin was. And he repented. And we prayed for him. And before he got out of here, he was almost walking by himself, wasn't he? And with how long was it after we prayed for you before you went back to work, sir?
It was within a month.
Almost a month. Thank you, Jesus. Are we grateful to the King for your healing?
Yes, we are.
And you've been doing good ever since?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. Now, the man had a stroke. They brought him in here. He could rarely walk. But after repenting and after prayer, the King of the universe... It was just a coincidence that you got here. You ain't never going to believe that, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. Does the King know how to get our attention?
Yes, He does.
He knows how to get every one of us' attention. I'm telling you. You can be going and feeling good and doing things just like the people in Haiti or Chile or just like this young man here or me. It makes no difference who it is. And if you get off into some kind of sin, God will do everything He can to bring you back to where He wants you to be. But if you don't listen, the next event is going to be sickness and disease. When He brings a stroke upon us, that has a tendency to make everything else useless, doesn't it? And then when you realize that God's trying to get your attention and you repent and you come back and obey Him and do what He says and He completely heals you, don't ever forget where that come from, right, brother? Again, and you were not going to, are you?
No, sir.
No, sir. I guarantee. But see, that's the thing about the Word of God. It's learning these wonderful principles and learning how to stand on these things. But we're living in a great time right now. Let me get my little outline out here today, and we're going to start with a few things. I'm going to show you some things today that I'm going to start with Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5 in the King James. I want to show you something that belongs to you if you know it. Now then, how many of you have heard about Obamacare? Has everybody in the world heard about Obamacare? Nobody knows what's in it because Pelosi won't let you know what's in it. I mean, you know, the men and the women of America, I mean, we ought to rise up as Christians and literally go to Washington and physically throw that woman and Reid and Obama out of office. Amen. You know, that we ought to do that. I mean, we ought to, they are not obeying. Why do you think they're doing what they're doing? You ever wonder why they're just blatantly, going against the rules? Why? Who do you think sent them up there to do that? Who? The devil may be behind them, but who's behind the devil? Who's running the show? God is. Why do you think God has sent the devil to put these people where they are to totally resist the governmental system? But that's exactly right. We deserve it. You know, we don't want to serve Jesus, just like I just told you about the people that won't let the pastor and these little seven people have a Bible study in Arizona. You know, I bought myself a television here a while back, so I could watch a few of the news things to see what's going on in the news. So I was amazed that when I flip over to a news channel, if there's not any news on, I can't believe the programs that are on the air. They're wicked. I just can't believe that human beings are feeding this trash into their minds day and night. And we wonder why we got all these problems? I can tell you why we got all these problems. Praise God.
Family package, ain't no family package.
That's right. It's wicked stuff, isn't it?
Right.
Hey, it's a wicked, wicked, wicked stuff. Now, it's time that we that are Christians finally realize who we are, learn how to pray, and stand our ground for the Word of God. I mean, I took this stand a long time ago, and I became a very bold Christian man that I don't care who it is, I'll teach you God's Word. I don't care whether you like it or don't like it. If Jesus said it, I'm going to teach it to you. And in the process of teaching you what God has shown me, I had people in the church for years. I had people in the church tell me, Thurman, you're all teaching heresy. You're off on a tangent. You're crazy. But ask men like this man right here if I'm crazy. Yeah, ask this wife. You don't think I'm crazy, do you?
Crazy, I like.
When we were in Norway, what she just said last year when I was in Norway, some of the pastors in Norway called the owner of the television station and said, Jan, this is the worst teacher you've ever had. He is the worst. You need to take him off the air. But after 2 weeks of being there, Jan told me, he said, one of them called me and said, you've got to take this guy off the air. And he said, look, if this guy's heresy, if this guy's false doctrine, he said, I ain't never had so many people call in to repent of their sins. I ain't never had so many people change, get right with their loved ones, forgive their neighbors. I never had so many people call in, tell them Jesus healed them, and they got saved. He said, if this is false doctrine, give me some more false doctrine. So, you know, false doctrine don't bring those kind of results, does it? But I'm grateful that God has used me to do these kind of things. And I'm grateful that He has confirmed these very controversial issues that I teach, which are not controversial at all. They're right out of the Word of God. But He has confirmed them with many wonderful healings and salvations and deliverances and all these kind of things. And then I, of course, run into four beautiful ladies a while ago when I was outside standing there talking to a man. These girls, I've never seen them before in my life, and they come running up there and grab me and tackle me and begin to hug me and love on me and everything else. And they said they feel like they've known me forever because they've watched my DVDs and all this stuff, and they just was loving on me. And I thought, wow, what a way to get mobbed standing out in front of the church. Four beautiful girls are just tackling me, wanting to hug me. Hey, I love being loved by people, don't you? And that's the way all of us should be as Christians. We should have the love of the Lord in there. And when people see you, they should love you because of the Christ that lives in you. That should be their desire. And that was definitely these ladies' desire. They love me because of what lived in me, the King of Kings. They didn't love me because I'm Thurman Scrivener. They didn't know Thurman Scrivener, but they knew the Jesus that lived in me. And that's what moved these ladies' heart. So now then, I want to go to this Psalms 103, and I want to show you that the King has given us His health care plan. And it's not going to cost you anything. Amen. And it's beautiful, and it's all you need, isn't it? And y'all know that, don't you? You've learned that. Look what He says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Well, you know, as we go around, most of us don't just walk down the halls. Like yesterday, we was asked to come to the hospital in Grapevine to pray for a man that technically, according to the world, he's on his deathbed. So when I get down there, of course, I walk into ICU, and we find out where he's at. And we start to go in, the nurse says, you got to put on this stuff, you know, this gown and the gloves and all this stuff, because he's contagious. I said, but that contagious disease don't have no hold on me. They don't understand that. You know, they just don't understand that. But when you walk by faith, you overcome all that. By faith, you can overcome that. But anyway, I said, okay. So she said, sir, but you got to put this on. I said, okay, no problem. I won't go against your rules. If I got to put this thing on, I'll put it on. So I put it on, put the gloves on. Cheryl put hers on and everything. And we go in there and pray for a guy, and then we come out and take everything off. And then I said, young lady, are you a Christian? She said, yes. You go to church? Oh, yeah. I said, well, good, then praise God. This guy's healed. She said, I sure do hope so. I said, no, I come and prayed in faith. Well, I hope so. I thought, you know, that's what's wrong with the world. Hope don't get it done. You know, you got to have faith to get it done. You got to believe it in your heart. You can't just hope it's going to happen. That's what's wrong with us. You know, we look at our situation and we think, oh my goodness, I prayed and I don't feel any better. Oh my goodness. I'll tell you what, the very first man, I go back to my first healing, 1986, a Baptist church in Lakeland Baptist Church in Lewisville, Texas, only about 15 miles over here to the east. I come home on a Wednesday night and there was a man 42 years old by the name of Ed Brock. Ed was in church every time the door was open. He had a lovely wife and she was in church every time the door was open. They were just the most lovely couple you could ever imagine. They rode bicycles together thousands of miles a year and they were health food nuts. I mean, they eat right, exercise right, and there wasn't an ounce of fat on either one of them's body. And if I'd ever seen anybody in my life that you said, who in this church you think is going to be here the longest, I would have said Ed and Ruthie Brock. Why? Because they were slim and trim. They ate right. They exercised right. And they were in church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. Do you think they're great Christians? Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, they're one of the two of the finest Christians I know. But then why has he got stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer at 42? Somebody said, see here, your situation about sin and sickness don't hold water in a case like this. But I knew it had to. So Ed and I, after I went to him, and in fact, the Lord spoke to me audibly and told me to go tell him to call the men of the church to pray for him, and he would heal him. Now, this is one of the pieces under the new covenant of your benefit package. Now, I want to show you this. I want to show you this benefit package that belongs to you. In other words, forget not all his benefits. Well, let's go to the new covenant and let's see what one of those benefits are in James 5, 14, 15, 16. Let's go read those things right quick and let's see what it says. It says, is any sick among you? Now, who does that include? I mean, in the church, we got a benefit package. The king makes a statement. Is any sick among you? Well, what does he say do? Let him or her call for the elders of the church. Now, do we have any elders in the church today? We should. I have been in some that we didn't have. You know, there's old men in there, but they're not elders in the church. They're not strong in the Lord. They don't know how to walk in faith, but the Lord says here, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of what?
Faith.
The prayer of faith maybe will heal the sick. Is that not what he said? What did he say? The prayer of faith shall. Is that a guarantee from God? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, is that a good benefit package? So if you get sick and you want to be healed, all you've got to do is find a church that's got some elders in it that are men of God, that are walking with God, that believe God, that with no doubt in their heart that God will do what he said, and have them pray for you and anoint you with oil. And then once they pray for you, all you got to do is thank him. Lord, I thank you. It's done. I'm healed. I mean, did he make you a promise? Now then, what if you don't believe that? What if you say, well, Lord, I'm not sure you'll do it for me? That's doubt. That's unbelief. That's a lack of faith. There was no faith there. You got to believe with those men. Those men that pray, in other words, this is a prayer of unbelief. Now, Father, sister so-and-so's come up here. She's got cancer. Now, you told us in your word in James 5, 14, let me get my bottle of oil out. Ma'am, you want me to anoint you with oil? Yes, I do. I take the bowl out, put a little on her. I say, okay, now, in the name of Jesus, I anoint you with oil, and I pray the prayer of faith for you. Thank you, Lord, for healing this woman. It's done in Jesus' name. And you turned to walk off. Somebody said, do you believe she's healed? I said, I sure do hope so. Is that the way we do things, brother? I sure do hope so. Oh, well, what do you mean? How can you be sure he's going to do it? What did we just read out of his benefit package? And did he say he would do it? Okay, now then, let's go back up from there to James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and let's see what happens when we don't ask in faith. That's part of the benefit package too. God is a faith God. You got to believe him. So let's go to James 1, 6 and 7. But let him or her ask in faith. How much wavering?
None.
You mean you can't waver at all? Why do you think God is so strong on not wavering? I mean, who is he? He's God, isn't he?
We're supposed to know what he can do.
Yeah, that's right. We're supposed to have complete trust in him, right, A.A.?
Exactly.
That would be just like you and your company and with what you know about what you do. One of the young men come and say, A.A., I need somebody to show me how to set up an instrument where I can do a survey. Do you know anybody can do that? And you, I said, well, yeah, I know how to do that. I've been doing that for 40, 50 years.
Right.
And he says, well, but I need somebody with more experience. I don't think you know what you're doing. That's about the... That's what you call wavering, right?
Yeah.
Now see, that wouldn't make you too happy, would it, AA? He doesn't have any confidence in you. You're just another man, just like he is.
I'm gonna go get somebody else because I don't think I can please.
Yeah, that's right. But if you was God, I mean, where you had absolute zero limitations, you could do anything. He expects us to believe what he says.
That's when you've got more confidence in me.
That's right. But that's the way all of us are, you know. So we look at this and think, we got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think that he or she shall receive anything from the Lord. The day that I prayed for this man down here, he repented of his sins. He had to believe it was going to work. And he began to see his results immediately. And I mean, by the time you got home, you knew you were healed, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
He could see the tangible results that quickly. Now then, when a man comes down with a stroke and can hardly walk into place, they got to help him to get in here. And within a matter of days, he's walking good. And within a month, he's back at work, blowing and going again. Somebody showed up bigger than him. You know that? Bigger than a doctor. I ain't never seen a doctor. And, of course, that's just like my little granddaughter, you know. I mean, she was impossible with doctors. There's a lot of things impossible with doctors. But what's impossible with God? Absolutely nothing. That's right. Nothing when it comes to healing. There is nothing. And he has given us one fantastic benefit package. Now then, the prayer of real faith is whenever the woman or the man comes down, we anoint them with oil, pray the prayer of faith for them, do everything that whatever the Holy Spirit leads us to do at the time. And then we say, Lord, you said it, it's done. And the woman does just like this one woman did here a few years ago, which was about 80 years old. She had an unforgiveness in her heart towards somebody. And she came down with some kind of sickness. She went to the doctor, and the doctor told her she had cancer. So she comes to the church. She repented of her sin. She said, okay, I mean, I'm going to come and let them anoint me with oil according to James 5, 14, 15, and 16. But I know I got into this unforgiveness with my brother, sister, whoever it was. So, Lord, I forgive them. I repent. Now then, I'm going to have the pastor anoint me with oil. And when they did, and she said, thank you, it's done, praise God. Somebody said, well, you going to go back to the doctor? She said, no, I don't need to go back to no doctor. She said, it's written in the Word, I'm healed. But you need to go take chemo. She said, I don't need nothing. I went to the main physician, the head physician. He made me a promise. I repented of my sins. I am healed. And praise God, I know I ain't going back to a doctor. I don't need it no more. I am healed because he made me the promise. And several people asked her over the next few months, are you going back to a doctor? She said, I went to the best doctor in the universe. I am healed. They said, how do you feel? She said, I don't go by what I feel like. Some days I feel good. Some days I don't feel good. But it makes no difference how I feel. According to the Word, I am healed. Well, 10 years later, that woman's never had a reoccurrence of that cancer. And she's blowing and going. She's 87 years old today. Praise God. Now, see, when you believe with no doubt in your heart, it never fails. Because is that an awesome statement in James 5 a while ago, that 14, 15, and 16? I mean, that's part of your benefit package. Now then, you won't never find a statement like that in your health care plan from the federal government. One of the things that really kind of tickled me the other day, I thought, when you get past 60 years old, in the new health care plan, they're going to require that every 5 years you go for a death instructions, teach you how to die. Doesn't that sound wonderful? So every 5 years after you pass 60, you got to go in at 65, and they're going to prepare you for dying. I got news for them. I ain't ready to die at 65. And we ain't going to talk about dying at 65. We're going to talk about living. Oh, but I'm going to tell you what. if that thing goes through and God don't wipe us out, whenever they bring me in for my checkup, they are going to be different men and women when I leave, because I'm going to go in there in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go in there casting out devils. When I walk in that office in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be casting out devils and say, you want to get healed? Let me tell you how to get healed. Jesus is the healer. And boy, if I ever thought in my life that God was going to step up with an anointing, He's going to step up to the church, the obedient church. He's going to teach us how to do these things. And you're going to see people get saved, healed, and delivered like you've never seen people get saved, healed, and delivered. Does that sound like fun? In fact, somebody said something the other day, well, Thurman, what are you going to do when the Muslims come and they sneak in on you and they capture you and they take y'all, a bunch of y'all outside, and they got a big guillotine out there and they say, okay, we're going to kill all you Christians. I say, okay, no problem. Ladies first. I'm going to let my wife go first. So I said, they're going to put my wife in there with her hands tied behind her. She's going to put her head in there and they're going to drop that blade and her head's going to fall off in the basket and I'm going to run over there. When her body comes by, I'm going to reach down and grab that beautiful head of hair and I'm going to stick it back on her. And she's going to say, thanks, honey, I really needed that. I said, now is there anybody here who wants my Jesus? You know, you want to make an impact on a bunch of Muslims? Hey, it's time we done some demonstration of the Spirit's power. Are y'all in agreement with me today? We need to learn how to walk in faith. God told us not to be afraid when people, even when an army comes around us and encompasses us around us. He said, have no fear. I'm in control. I mean, what do we do with scriptures like that? Hey, we believe them. We believe them. God has given us the power to overcome the devil on this earth, but we hadn't figured it out yet. It took me 45 years or so to figure it out, and I'm still figuring it out, but I'm getting more and more awesome all the time. You know, whenever you learn these wonderful truths, and you learn what you can do in the name of Jesus, you take that wonderful benefit package that you got. Again, this was one of the benefits, but let's go to Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. And let me show you another one of the benefits in the benefit package that Jesus has given His church. I want you to look at this. This is an awesome set of scriptures. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. What do we have to do?
Have faith in God.
We got to believe that He is, that He's our Lord and our God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, is that an awesome benefit package? I mean, most people, you know, you read that and then you start to act on that just a little bit, and guess who shows up on your shoulder? A little demon. Oh, but he doesn't mean that for you. That's not for you. That's for this other guy down the street. But that's not you. You know God's not going to allow you to do those kind of things. You can't just say something and it happened. Yeah, he's a liar. That's right. But who do we believe? We believe the devil. The church nearly always believes the devil. I'll just tell you, that scripture right there, here a few years ago, on a Sunday night, some of you heard this testimony. On Sunday night, we had a great experience at church, and we were coming home. We stopped and had a little bite to eat somewhere, and while we was there at the restaurant having a little bite to eat, there was a phone, my wife's phone ring, and it was Eldon, and he said, Thurman, he says, or I told Cheryl, said that Dr. Young has just called me and said he just fell out of a tree last Tuesday and crushed his whole lower back. And he wants to know if you and Cheryl will come to Salt Lake City, Utah tomorrow, Monday morning, and pray for him. I said, sure, we'll be happy to come out there tomorrow and pray for him. I said, I got a couple of days that I can, I don't have anything really pressing scheduled. But I said, be sure and tell him to call me on my own cell phone tonight before he goes to bed. I want to talk to him personally. So about 2 hours later, his wife had made all the reservations and everything on the airplane for Cheryl and I to come out there the next morning. And we left the restaurant and we were at the post office. And just as we got there, the phone rang and Cheryl goes in to get the mail while I'm talking to him on the phone. And whenever she comes out, I'm praying. I said, Jesus made me an awesome promise in Mark 11:23. Whenever he told me, I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I fell out of a tree 30 feet up in the air, hit right on my bottom, and it crushed my whole lower back. And he said, they care flighted me and took me to a hospital, done a CT scan, and they can't fix it. So he said, I'm at home laying in bed, and I'm in excruciating pain. I said, you know, my Jesus don't want you to be in excruciating pain. He told me that whatever I say with this mouth, if I can believe with this heart, I can have it. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
Now who are we going to believe? We hope we're going to believe God, right? So I said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to do a supernatural healing on Dr. Gary Young's back. I said, Lord, thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. I said, Brother Young, call me with your praise report, and hung up the phone. Now, didn't it take a long time to pray that? No, it didn't take long at all, did it? But when you do something in faith, you don't have to do it long. We drive down the road about a mile. Cheryl looks over and said, honey, what do you think about him? I said, oh, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. Now, do you hear any faith in that? You notice I didn't say, I don't know what God will do, but I hope he does something. You notice I didn't say that, did I? No. I told her, I said, no sweat. He'll be healed before we get there. With that kind of faith, we pulled down the road here and pulled up over in front of the little house over there. I was unloading the pickup, and the phone rang. And I didn't recognize the number, so I answered it anyway. I said, now, this is Pastor Thurman Scribner. How can I help you? He said, Thurman, this is Dr. Gary Young. I said, oh, praise God. He said, Thurman, when you prayed, the pain went away. He said, I scooted over to the side of the bed, put my feet on the floor. I stood up. I could walk. I walked up the stairs and back down. I picked up my five-year-old son. I ran up the stairs and back with him. I'm running all over the house carrying my five-year-old son. He said, I'm already completely healed. Now, where did I learn I could do things like that? The Word of God? My goodness, nobody wants to read that old book. Take it out of school. You might impact somebody if they read the old book. Yeah, that's the whole point, right? Reading the old book. That's where I learned these mighty things, reading the book. And, you know, the average person in church don't believe Mark 11:23 works. Let's go to Mark 11:24. Let me show you the next one. That's an awesome one. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Is that another pretty awesome benefit package? That's another one of the little line items in your benefit package. Do you know you can't really fuss at Obama and Pelosi for not showing us theirs, because you got the best benefit package in the world. Most of us never read it. Is that right, brother? Isn't that a shame? Here God has given us this awesome benefit package, and it's free. It don't cost us $1 trillion. It's free, and we don't even know it. Instead of calling Him in remembrance of the things He said, and seeing Him as the Creator God, we just go to a normal doctor and pay him money. And get sicker in some cases. They do the best they can. Yeah, the doctors, praise God for good doctors, especially good Christian doctors. Because, you know, if we didn't have them, I'd be in trouble too. Because before I learned how to walk in faith, when I got sick, guess where I went? To a doctor. I didn't know Jesus. I went to church, but I didn't know Jesus was a healer. I'd never read that in His Word. But, you know, look at this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When are you going to have them? When you pray. Believe. And it's yours. In other words, the process starts. In fact, you know, I use that verse, that little girl that was running around out there a while ago, that little 12-year-old chasing her puppy. That's my granddaughter, Caitlin. I used that 9 years ago, almost 9 years ago, whenever she was in that car wreck and it jerked the little valve in her throat. It did something to the valve in her throat, and so it wouldn't close. And so I didn't know that. And so we got ready. They'd been feeding her intravenously while we were in the hospital. And the doctors said that she couldn't live. Absolutely impossible for her to live. But anyway, whenever I brought her home, she was living, of course. And I began to take the Word of God and use it. And I got her where she could sit up. I got her where she could stand up. I got her where she could walk. All these kind of things. I got her where she could play on the stairs, where she'd climb up the stairs and slide down. You know, had all kinds of fun. But she couldn't eat. They had put a little plug in her tummy, and I had to feed her through a little pump in her tummy every day, three times a day. The doctor told me, don't you put nothing in her mouth, because if you do, it's going to kill her. So I said, okay, I got Mark 11:24. What does Mark 11:24 say? What things soever you desire. Did he give me any limitations?
No.
Not any. So what was my desire? For the valve in my little granddaughter's throat to work. Then look what he said. When you pray, believe. So I prayed. And then I waited till 2 months later when the doctor said, bring her back every 2 months and we'll check her. Did Jesus tell me to wait? No. But you know, I didn't even have that kind of faith. I prayed on according to Mark 11:24. And I thanked him for healing her little throat, but then we would wait and feed her. I would feed her with a pump in her stomach three times a day, and then we would, every 2 months, we'd go back to the doctor, and the doctor would check the valve, and he said, I'm sorry. I'd go in. I'd say, it's going to work this time. No, it's going to work. And he said, no, sir, I'm sorry. It don't work. I said, what? I'd come home and say, God, I know you don't hear the prayer of a sinner, so I must have sinned somewhere, done something, so I repent of all sin, and I stand on Mark 11:24. I went through this scenario 10 times, or for 10 months, 5 times, 10 months, every 2 months, and it never worked. And finally, after the 10th month, I brought her home. I said, God, I've missed it somewhere. I've missed it. I mean, does God's Word always work? Yeah, so if it ain't working, who's at fault? Me. It ain't the Word. The Word is never, it's never fails. It's always me that makes it not work, or you. So I repented. I began to read that Mark 11:24. I quoted it. I read it for 2 weeks. No telling how many thousand times I read and quoted and spoke that verse in the next 2 weeks. Finally, it hit me. He says, when I pray, believe. I said, Lord, I've been sinning because I've been praying and I'm not believing until I go to the doctor, and that's unbelief. That's unbelief. So I said, Lord, I repent. And I said, Lord, Matthew, Mark 11:24 says, whatever I desire the valve of my granddaughter's throat to work perfect. I said, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, it's done. So I just left the house and walked across to her house, and her daddy was still there at that time. I said, Toby, God's waiting on you and me. I said, you got anything to feed Caitlin? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I prayed this morning. The valve's working in her throat, so let's feed her. You got anything to feed her? You got some applesauce or something? Well, yeah, I do have a little bowl of applesauce and a little glass of bottle of orange juice. He said, but Thurman, we can't give her that. She'll die. I said, no, she won't. I said, the valve's working. He said, how do you know it's working? I said, the Word says it's working. Is that what it said? Now, you talk about faith that'll put you to the test. At that time, I only had one grandbaby. And the mother that brought her in the world is gone. She ain't going to bring me no more. That's the only one my daughter's ever going to give me. And you think you're going to step out and you're going to speak a few words out of a benefit package that comes from God? And then you're going to stand on it and give her something to eat, believing it's going to work just like He said? Now, that takes real faith, folks. Y'all know that? Are you a grandmother? You know what I mean then, don't you? You're beginning to associate with this because you love them little grandbabies, right? I do too. I love mine. But I stood on His Word. And when Toby finally agreed, it was quite a little chore to convince him. I had to remind him of all the things God had already done for her. So he finally said, okay. So I called Caitlin. She was back in the bedroom playing. I said, Caitlin, honey, come in here. Sit down here at this chair and eat that applesauce and drink that bottle of orange juice for Granddaddy. She just jumped up there, took a little spoon, started eating it down, cleaned the bowl out, drank about half a bottle of orange juice, set it down, jumped, run, played. Fed her normal every day for the next 6 weeks. We go back to the doctor, and I said, Doc, this time it works. He said, I hope you're right. I said, no, I don't hope I'm right. I know I'm right. So he checked her, and he said, you are right. It's working. He said, you can start feeding her now. I said, I've been feeding her for 6 weeks. That's why it's working. He said, you fool. You fool. You realize you're going to kill that little girl? I said, nope. When I got God's word, there ain't no way I can kill her. But without God's word, I can kill her. But with God's word, I can't kill her. Now, I'm going to show you the next couple of things after Mark 11:24. What causes Mark 11:24 not to work for you? If there was something in God's word that would make this not work, do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Let's go to the next two verses. And when you stand praying, do what?
Forgive.
When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. If you have unforgiveness of any kind in your heart, Mark 11:23 and 24, will not work for you. Isn't that something? Somebody said, but you don't know what my ex-husband done to me. I said, it don't make no difference what your ex-husband done to you. But you don't know what my daughter did to me. It don't make any difference. Which is more important, getting your prayers answered or being sick? I don't want to be sick. Do you, brother? No. I mean, it's real easy to forgive when you understand these principles, right? Did the king tell you to forgive? He told you that if you don't forgive, what's he going to do? Can you imagine if you had sins in your life and he doesn't forgive you your sins one day when you go to heaven with a grudge and you get over and say, Hi, God, this is Thurman, or St. Peter, knock on the door and say, Here I am. And he opens the door and says, Oh, who are you? And I said, Well, I'm Thurman Scribner. I'm ready to come in. Well, he said, Let's see. Let me get the book out here. Down in the S's. Scrivener? Thurman Scrivener? I'm sorry, you're not here. But I made Jesus my Lord and my Savior. He said, Oh, here's a note down here. You used to be here. He removed you because you wouldn't forgive your brother. Oh, but you don't know what he did to me. Oh, it don't make any difference. The king said if you don't forgive, he's not going to forgive you. So if you're not forgiven, nothing defiled and profane can come into heaven. Is that what he said? Would that be worth getting your sins taken care of? Would it be worth holding an unforgiveness somebody to get to go to hell? I think not. Ooh, that would be something else. Somebody says, I don't believe that part. Okay. Don't put him to the test. It might be too late when you get there someday. But not only that, it's going to make you sick and afflict you all the time you're on earth. It's going to make you sick and it's going to afflict you. And nobody likes to be sick, do we? No. Is being well better? This gentleman up here in the front row with the red shirt, man, he loves being well. That gentleman back there in the back on the top up there, Dave Rosenfeld, he loves being well. And if you don't believe that, ask him. He'll tell you. You've talked to Dave before, haven't y'all? You never have?
Never got
to. Dave loves being well. I'm going to tell you, there's another guy standing right here in the middle in the front that loves being well. You know who that is? Me. Don't you love being well? My wife loves being well. You know, we love being well. Especially when we got a king that provided us with all these wonderful benefits. Now then, if we'll just obey him, he'll do some wonderful things. Now let's go to the rest of that Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. Let's go back there. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, what are we supposed to be doing as children of the king? What those two verses tell us to do over and over? When's the last time you walked down the street or something and said, bless the Lord? Walked into a place of business and said, praise God, thank you, Jesus. People said, this guy's a nut. What's wrong with this guy? I don't care what they think. Do you? I won't obey God, don't you? Hey, when you obey God, when you do what He says, I mean, He loves it. You know, people, don't worry about what the world says. Don't even worry about what the rest of the church says. I mean, you ought to be praising God. I mean, blessing the name of Jesus everywhere you go. I mean, when you buy something and they give you a receipt, say, praise the Lord. I mean, you know, let them know you're a Christian. And somebody said, you know who that guy right there? Oh, yeah, that guy right there. I don't know what his name is, but every time he comes in here, I can remember all I know about that guy is every time anything happens, he says, praise the Lord or bless the Lord. So he must be a Christian. Is that the way you want to be known? That's the way I want to be known. Guarantee it. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because if you bless Him and praise Him like He says here in Psalms 103 verses 1 and 2, then look what He will do for you in the next couple of verses. Who forgiveth all of my iniquities? Now I know none of y'all besides me has ever sinned in your life, so you don't have any sins to confess. No, I got a feeling that all of you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have we not? Now, isn't it nice to have a God that when we come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness, He'll forgive us? Ooh! If it wasn't for that, I'd be in big trouble, ma'am. You would too. Absolutely. You know that. He forgiveth all of our iniquities, and after He forgives all of our iniquities, He heals how many of our diseases?
All.
Hey! I mean, if He said He heals all, what does that mean? He heals how many?
All.
So that means there's none left out. Is that right? There is none left out. So why in the world does the church with the best benefit package in the world, why do we go to so many doctors?
Unbelief.
That's absolutely right. Unbelief eats us up, doesn't it? Unbelief. I mean, unbelief is... when God made that spirit of unbelief, He made him good. He really made him good. Somebody said, I don't believe God makes a spirit of unbelief. Well, the Scripture says all things were made by Him and for Him, and nothing's made except He made it. So the spirit of unbelief and doubt is made by Jesus, wasn't it? He built that beast to test you and me. That's why He don't want a bunch of just wimps. He wants a bunch of men and women that are trained, that's willing to fight the fight of faith. You know, we're going to get to reign and rule with God through eternity, forever. And He don't want a bunch of wimps. You know, whenever I used to work in the workforce, if I had 3, 4, 5 men that was willing, if I had a special project I wanted to do, and I wanted to do something at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, work through, or I wanted to start at 2 in the morning and I wanted to work all the way through and all the way to the day and all the way back to 2 o'clock that next morning, 24 total hours, I didn't call those that every time I said, how are you doing? Well, I'm tired this morning. I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. I don't know if I can do a good job today or not. When I had a real job to do, do you think I called on them? No. But when I worked, we'd worked all night long till midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we all went home, and then at 7 o'clock the next morning, I'm back out there, and some of the guys that were with me, they were already back. I said, how are you guys doing this morning? Praise God, I'm ready to tackle the world. What job you got for me today? Which kind of men you want around you? That's the kind you want around you, right? Those that saying, just give me whatever you want me to do, chief. I'll do anything. There ain't nothing hard. In fact, one time I told a VP come to me and said, Thurman, I have such a difficult thing for you and your men to do. I really hate to ask you to do this. It's going to be so difficult. I said, Mr. Tully, the difficult we do immediately. The impossible takes just a little bit longer. That VP never forgot that statement I made. Every time I was in Washington in a meeting with a bunch of CEOs or VPs or whatever they were, he would always tell that story on me. He said, that man right there, he worked for me for 4 years. He said, anytime I wanted anything done, all I do is call him on the phone, tell him what I wanted. He said, yes, sir, Mr. Tully, I'll get it done. He said, I never had to worry about it after that. It always happened. And you wonder why every year when they done the performance appraisals, mine was outstanding. And I got the maximum raise every year working in the business world. How many of you have been worked in the business world and somebody asks you to do something, you say, I don't know if I can do that or not. That looks hard. See, that's not what a manager wants to hear, is it? It don't make any difference whether it looks hard or not. Now, if you're a man of the world, that's okay. But if you're a son of God and you know the Word of God, that should never be your confession, right? Never. I am a son of God, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There ain't nothing hard for me because Jesus is with me. Hey, you can do miracles in the name of Jesus anywhere you want to. It don't have to be just to the church or the healing. You can become a legend in your own time in the workforce if you'll put Jesus first. He'll do it for you. Now then, after verse 4 and 5, let's see what he says in these last two verses. Who redeemed your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now then, I don't need anybody to come by at 60 and give me a plan on how to die. And then come back 5 years later and let me go through this again. But bring me a man that says, you're a son of God. He renews your youth like the eagles. There's nothing impossible with you and me. Send me somebody to talk to me like that. Then I can get something done. So, in fact, the other day, Dave and I went down to, I bought a little propane tank so we could store some propane, just a little 500-gallon one. And we went down and we were going to move this thing and we put a little, I jumped up on the back of the tank. David hung the hoist and I put the chain on, I'm throwing it across there and we're hooking it up. I said, okay, Dave, let's pull it up. And that guy looked over at Dave and said, Dave, he said, how old is that guy? Oh, he said about 71, I think. He said, good grief. I hope I can get around like that when I'm that old. I didn't hear him tell that until Dave told me later. I started to say, if I'd have heard it, I'd have said, well, you know, you need to change what you're doing now because you're 20 years younger than me. You can't do this right now. But if you want to be doing this when you're 20 years now, you're going to have to make some changes. But Dave told him, he said, if you want to be like that man is, you put God first. See, that was Dave's answer. You put God first. You put God first. You can do what that man does when you get to be 71 years old. See, you know, you're only as old as your mouth confesses. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So this is the way we are in the church. Good morning, ma'am. How are you doing? Well, I'm old. I'm tired. I didn't sleep good last night. I don't feel good, and my back hurts this morning, and my right foot hurts something terrible. I can't hardly walk. I mean, after you run into a lady like that once or twice, you don't ever ask her how she feels no more. You just say, good morning, ma'am, and go on, because you don't want to hear the nonsense. Now, see, that should never be the confession of a Christian, right? Never. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you should say, when somebody says, how are you doing this morning? Praise God. I'm a young man this morning. My youth has been renewed like the eagles. I'm ready to go today. Praise the Lord. You know, I've had people that have come up to me after I teach here for 4 hours and don't sit down, drink a drink of water, nothing, pray for people for 4 or 5 hours. And then they'll come up to me at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, even 12 o'clock at night and say, you know, I know you must be exhausted. I said, don't speak that curse over me. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I ain't sick and I ain't weak at all. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. They said, wow, I don't see how you can do that. I couldn't do that. I said, I know you can't because your confession is wrong. I do it because my confession is right. I believe what the Word says. Isn't that amazing? When you believe what the Word says, He says that He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Does that mean we have to get old, brother? That's right.
What are the good things?
Do what?
What are the good things?
Yeah, speak people are good things, all of them. Yeah, we're going to talk about a bunch of those. In fact, let's go to some of these things now. Let's go from Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Let's go to Psalms 107, verse 17 through 22. I'm going to show you a couple little things there in 107:17. I want you to see this. Psalms 107:17. What's the very first word there? Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities or sins, are afflicted. Now, what does that mean? So you go out and do something stupid? You don't do what God says? In other words, it's kind of like a young man when daddy tells you not to do something, or he's going to get the switch a hold of your backside. He tells you, you bring the car home by 10 o'clock, and if you ain't here by 10 o'clock, I'm going to either take the car away from you, or I'm going to give you 5 licks with that great big board I still got hanging in there on the wall. You may be 16, but I'm going to warm up your backside if you don't obey me. Son says, ah, the old man at 10 o'clock, he'll be asleep. He won't never know. He'll be sitting in there watching TV. He'll be sound asleep. He'd been drinking a soda pop and eating popcorn. He won't never know when I come in. So anytime after 9, Dad's always asleep anyway. So no problem. So he don't come in till 10:30. At 10:30, that night, guarantee the Holy Ghost will be prompting that daddy. Ain't no way he can sleep that night. Y'all know what I mean? Your son is disobeying you, and so he's up, he's looking, he said, well, okay, it's only 9 o'clock, so he's got an hour yet. Well, okay, it's only 9:15, he's got 45 minutes. Okay, it's 5 minutes till 10, he's got 5 minutes, he better be here. And at 10 o'clock, Dad's standing out under the patio, you know, well, now it's 10:01, and he ain't here. It's 10:05, it's 10:15, let's go in there and get that board. Get that board, bring it outside. I was going to give him a little grace, but 10, 15 minutes is more than I'm going to give him. Then 10:30, he finally comes driving in, and the old man's standing there with the board in his hand. That wasn't what he wanted to hear, was it? He's in trouble. What'd God call that boy? A fool. A fool. Fools, because they don't obey daddy, are afflicted. When he gets out, he says, son, bend over and grab that front bumper. Whop! 5 licks, and when he got through with him, he can't hardly walk to the bedroom. Oh, Lord. You think next time Daddy talks, he'll listen? Well, now see, these same things are happening to young men and us men and women every day, and we don't know that, far as God's concerned, we're all children. If God tells us to do something in this book and we don't obey, what happens? We get a whipping. We become a fool. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Now, I don't like a spanking from God. It ain't no fun. If you think them 5 licks from that board by daddy, it's no fun. I'm telling you, it ain't no fun. I see people all the time that are afflicted with all kinds of sickness and disease. And sickness and disease, we don't believe it comes from God, but it does. I'll show you in the Word today where it does. But it said, their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Now, if God's afflicting you because of sin and you're growing close to the gates of death, I mean, if you're 40 or 50 or even 60, 70 years old, most people's not ready to die yet. You know? I mean, Cheryl and I went and prayed for... Well, we prayed for all kinds of people, but the man we just prayed for recently was only 55. ICU, not and the lady said, you know, he ain't going to make it. Oh, yeah, and a rich man, too. He was a big contractor in Dallas. And just to give you an idea how rich he was, he married a woman here just a few years ago, and when he married her for their wedding, for her wedding present, he gave her a $70,000 Lexus. That's not exactly a poor boy. You know? And at the wedding we were at, the dress she was wearing, I thought, man, what a beautiful dress. And so I just happened to ask somebody, I said, boy, what a beautiful dress. Oh, by the way, yeah, and that dress cost $10,000. $10,000? And then after they got through, they had a $6,000 demonstration of fireworks, and then a $2,000 helicopter ride came out to the lake, picked them up, flew them over and landed them on the hotel they were going to spend the night in the first night. $2,000 just to fly. You know, poor boys don't live like that. You know that? You know, poor boys don't buy their new mate a $70,000 Lexus. Y'all know where I'm coming from? But 5 years later, 5 years later, this man is down in hospital, and the nurse said, he ain't going to make it. But he's going to make it, because I prayed for him. I prayed for him in faith, and I asked God to bring that man up, and then when he gets up, I need to go sit down and talk with him and tell him why he's where he is and why he was dying at 55, because he was a fool. His liver was infected. He had been a drinker, a heavy drinker. Yep. Isn't that amazing how easy it is? I mean, just think. I'm going to tell you part of this benefit package that we got there. In fact, this 18. Let me go ahead through these scriptures. Let's go on to the next two scriptures, 19 and 20. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Now, is it a good time when you get afflicted like that and you're drawing near the grave? Is that a good time to cry out to God? That's a good time to cry out to God. I don't want to have to go that far, do you? But he says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distress. He sent his word and done what? Is he a merciful God? Is he a merciful God? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Wow. Because we were a dummy, he gave us a spanking, and then after we repented and come back to him and called upon him, he heard us, he forgave us, and now he's healing us. But you got to call on him in faith. Verse 21 and 22. Let's see what that says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice his sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Do you know you can have some people come to a healing school? Or you can have somebody, somebody can call me. I've done this several times. You go to a hospital and they hear about you. And you go down there and you pray over the child. And the child's impossible. It can't. The doctor says they're not going to live. And you pray over them and they get well. And then you never hear about anything, so a year goes by and you never heard anything else. So one day you're in town and you run into them and you say, oh, glory to God, praise the Lord. I see your little girl is doing good. Pray, thank you, Jesus. You go over and love her on her little say, Lord, thank you for the prayer of faith that raised this little child up. And they say, get away from my daughter. If you think your prayers is what healed my daughter, the doctors healed my daughter. Don't you be taking the credit for that. You have no idea how many times that's happened to me in my life. You know, you've got to have a merciful God to be able to keep healing people when they do you like that. When you get healed, what did he tell us to do? Hey, that shouldn't be such a difficult thing to praise him, right? I have no problem with it. Praise the King. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Lord, I praise you. I worship you. I thank you. I give you praise and glory and honor. You're the mighty King, the glorious God. And Lord, I know that every time I pray for anybody and they get healed, I know you're the one that did it. Right, let me tell. Oh, that just throwed something in a little kink in the gear here. I just happened to think about. How many of y'all heard Bailey's testimony back there? The little girl that got healed. Only a few. If you haven't heard it, get a copy of Bailey's testimony. Take it with you. Listen to what God did for this little 15-year-old girl a year ago down at Brenham. We were down at Brenham, Texas. In fact, AA is the one that set up that meeting. And we went down there, and this couple brought their little daughter from Hobbs, New Mexico, 10-hour drive all the way to Brenham, Texas, down close to Houston. And we had a healing service, 4 hours or 4.5 hours, teaching God's Word. And then we had a large group of people. We prayed for people. And finally, at 10:30 that night, Saturday night, I finally got to Bailey and her parents. And when her dad and mother repented of every sin, and this little girl had been in a cellar? Hyperbaric. I don't ever think. In the name of Jesus, I will remember that. A hyperbaric cylinder or chamber she'd been sleeping in all the time with oxygen. She could hardly breathe. She was in terrible pain. And she was out of school for the last 4 months, could not be in school. And she literally thought she was dying. And what happened? She took the Gargacil shot because she was over 11 or 12. And they are now demanding that, and of course I understand Rick Perry has done this too. I didn't like that when I heard that the other day, that Rick Perry has demanded that every 11-year-old girl in Texas take the Gargacil shot. Let me tell you folks, don't let your daughters take the Gargacil shot. That's what happened to little Bailey. She took the Gargacil shot, had an allergic reaction to it. She was perfectly normal until she took this shot, and this shot nearly killed her. Now then, she's out of school, she's in that hyperbaric chamber, she's on oxygen, she can't do anything, she can't go to school, she virtually is in excruciating pain 24-7, thinking she may die at any second, and her mom and dad brought her down to Brenham, and when I got to her, and I prayed the prayer of faith for her, lay hands on her, the King of the universe instantly healed Bailey Waldrop. And she was instantly healed. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We were just at Hobbs just a few weeks ago. And while we were there, we found out that her Baptist church, where they go, the biggest Baptist church in Hobbs, will not let her give that testimony anymore in church. I wouldn't want to be the pastor of that church. I wouldn't want to stand before the King of the universe that healed this little girl and done such a wonderful healing on her, and then if I'm the pastor of that church and say, I'm sorry, we're Baptists, we will not let you give that testimony in our church. I don't want to be a member of that church. I will not be a member of that church. I don't even want to stand real close to that pastor. I hate to say this, but I mean, you talk about a merciful God? Has he got to be merciful? I'm telling you what, if I was God and I had one of my pastors did that to me, I'd throw a couple of lightning bolts down in the middle of that church. I'd say, bam, let me show it, boys. Let me get y'all's attention. I'd do that Baptist church like he did the Lutheran church up in Minneapolis the other day when they were going to vote in homosexuals. Y'all, did anybody see that? You didn't see that either? Well, in fact, it was on August the 19th of 2009. I know the date. August 9th, 2009, the Lutheran Church had a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday meeting to discuss whether they're going to let homosexuals be in the church. In other words, are they going to let them hold offices, you know, pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, all these kind of things. Yeah, and you got to have a meeting about this? I don't understand this. First of all, that lets me know that they ain't reading the book. If you've got to have a discussion about letting homosexuals be in the church, you need to be in the book. Because God told us what he thought about that. And we saw what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah because of that. And we saw what he did to the world because of that. And obviously he don't like it. And so I have to stand with him. You know, I have to stand with God on his word. But anyway, they discussed it for 3 days. And then 2 o'clock on Wednesday, they're going to have the vote. Now, Monday's been a beautiful day in Minneapolis. Tuesday's been a beautiful day in Minneapolis. Wednesday's been a beautiful day in Minneapolis, and there's no bad weather forecast the rest of the week. And all of a sudden, just a few minutes before 2 o'clock, when they're all gathering to go in after lunch to vote at 2 o'clock, right downtown Minneapolis, a humongous black cloud appears, and a great big tornado comes out of that cloud right down on I-94. And that that tornado comes right down I-94 and it hits 2 buildings in Minneapolis. The Lutheran Church and the convention center right across the street where they're having this meeting. And after it's scattered all their little, whatever you call them, little booths and stuff they had outside, it scattered stuff everywhere, broke the temple on, cathedral, the whatever you call that thing, up there on the church and everything else, and then the storm left. And then they all regathered themselves, went inside and voted it in. All I got to say, folks, we ain't listening to God. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that God was saying, boys, I am not happy with what y'all are doing. But they didn't get it. Isn't that sad? That's very much sad. But God ain't happy with what's going on. And He is judging people. Now then, again, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Yeah, if we would just praise Him. If we would worship Him and praise Him and thank Him and obey Him. Now, I'm going to take you to a place right now. I'm going to take you to... see which one of these I want to use. I want to take you to Exodus. I want to take you back to the Old Covenant. And I want to take you to three different places in the Word. I want to go to Exodus 15:26. And I want to show you something here. Because whenever I tell people, you know, if you're sick... you got a sin in your life that God don't like. They don't like to hear that. We don't lie. Wait a minute now. Nope. Tell me. You ain't tell me. If I'm sick, you tell me I got a sin in my life? Well, I'm going to let the Word speak for itself. But I'm going to take you to Exodus 15:26, and I want you to see this wonderful thing. And He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep... how many of His statutes? All of His statutes. I, God, will put... how many? None of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, then, if you obey Him, and so far, in that one place, now we've just got one so far, but if you got one place that says, if you obey Him, He's going to take away how much sickness? And if we got a problem, what's the problem? If we're sick, what's the problem? We've not obeyed Him somewhere. Is that right? Okay. Let's go to Exodus 23:24, 25, and 26. And let's see what He says in Exodus 23. Let's just don't get it in one place. Now, we could go a long ways with this, but I'm just going to go a few places. He said, let everything be confirmed out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. So Exodus 23:24 says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. Now wait a minute. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, but yet we had a national day of prayer the other day, which the guy that's supposedly the president of the United States would not even acknowledge it as a national day of prayer. But yet it's okay to bring in Allah. And let me go into the temple. And I got pictures of Obama taking his shoes off, walking in saying, the Holy Quran. Hey, he's bowing down to a foreign god. And he's supposedly the president of the United States? Hey, stay a long ways away from him. Pray for him diligently, but don't get too close to him because there might be a lightning strike and you don't want to be standing close to him when it strikes. I don't want to be there. Do you? Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, but we're bowing down to their gods. And some of you don't know that when Obama spoke at a university the other day, it was a Catholic university, and they had the name of Jesus in the back, and he made them cover that up before he would speak on television. He didn't want the name of Jesus behind him. Y'all don't have any idea how wicked this guy is. Most people in America today have no idea what we've got in Washington. No idea. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break down their images. Do you think God likes these things? I don't think He does at all. Okay, verse 25. Let's see what else He says. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take... what? I will take what? I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days will you fulfill. So if you make him happy, how much sickness does he say you're going to have? So anytime, I mean, we've learned this well here at this ministry. Anytime one of us start to come down with something, and instead of saying, take me down to ICU, you know what we do? Let's find out what we did that ain't pleasing the King. I'll tell you something that happened here a while back. A couple of ladies went to Israel and Egypt, and they brought back the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. And they brought it to me as a gift. And I unrolled it, looked at it, and I said, what is it? They said, it's the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. I said, well, praise God. I said, man, I'll frame that and put it right up by the front door. I did. Immediately the funds for this church went to the bottom. Never has this happened in all the years I've been in this ministry, but God cut off the funds. They stopped just stopped coming in. So I had to put over the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, I had to put several thousand dollars of my own money in to pay the bills at this church. And I finally told the church, I said, I don't know what I've done wrong, but I've done something that ticks off God. I don't know what I've done. But I said, I want y'all to pray and ask God what I've done. I said, I prayed and He will not reveal it to me. I don't know what I've done, but something. I said, God promises to pay His bills. And I said, He's always paid all the bills, but right now He ain't paying them. I said, I'm paying them. And I ain't got enough money to pay them, but just a few more days. And after that, it's all over. The ministry's going to shut down because I ain't going to borrow money to keep this ministry going. If God's not paying the bills, He ain't in it. And so they ain't used me being there. I go find something else to do. So one of the couples that drove home, they drove an hour home, and just as they got home, the Lord spoke to her and told her, the problem is the Ten Commandments on the wall. So they come all the way back out here. I said, Thurman, I don't understand what this means, but it says the Ten Commandments on the wall. It's a problem. So I went back around her and I looked, and the very minute I looked, I saw the Star of David right at the top. And in the middle of the Star of David, I saw a blue circle with a red dot right in the middle. I said, holy cow, that's a symbol of a Muslim. That's the evil eye of the Muslims. I tucked that stupid thing out off the wall, tore that thing up, throwed that thing away, and repented and said, God, I'm sorry. I did that on Sunday. I mean, right then, I didn't leave it up another minute when I saw that evil eye, that Muslim evil eye. I destroyed that thing, repented before God. I said, now, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord. I didn't know that. I didn't see that. I didn't look at that close enough. I should have looked at that thing knowing it came from over there in that part of the world. I should have looked at that thing with real close eyes, but I just didn't. I just kind of looked over it, and I said, I'm sorry. And I said, Lord, this won't ever happen again. Monday afternoon, we went to the mailbox. I couldn't get all the letters out of the mailbox. It was so full of checks. Is God good or is He good? Does He play games with anybody? No, not anybody. He don't play games with anybody. Now then, let's go from here where we said here. Let's go to one other place, Deuteronomy 7:15. Deuteronomy 7:15. Let's see what he says there. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. In other words, if you obey Him, make Him happy, how much sickness is He promised to take away? Do you love that brother? Hey, I can stand on it with you. I won't obey the King. I don't want any sin in my life. Somebody says, you know, there ain't no way in the New Testament He expects us to walk without sin. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. I want to show you what the Lord says to do. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Well, let's see what they are. Verse 22. Who did how much sin? Now, if you and me are supposed to follow in our king's footsteps and he did no sin, how much sin does he want you to commit?
None.
How much?
None.
Can you do that? You didn't shake your head very strong there. Do you want to be sick? Do you want to be down with a stroke? Do you know it would be a whole lot easier for me to walk holy before God if I knew what this man knows? You know what I mean? Because see, God don't play games. He brings you to a place to teach you the truth. When you leave here, he's going to expect a different boy out of you. If you don't do what he says, he will make you sick. You will not enjoy your life. But if you obey him, you can have a wonderful, blessed life, and everything you put your hands to, he'll make it prosper for you. Now then, do you want that? Sure we do. So why don't we have such a hard time obeying God? I don't know about you, but I love being well, don't you? I love having no sickness and disease. I love not having to be down sick at all, no sickness and disease that I can't get up and go run and play for 25 years. But of course, I'm just a young guy. I am 17 years old. Isn't that what I say, 17? I might have got the numbers turned around a little there, but that's okay. I get around like a 17-year-old. You can do the same thing. If you put God first, he will bless you. He will bless you. Now then, let's go on down to the next verse. After he said, who did no sin? Or no, we didn't finish that. Neither was guile found in his mouth. You'll have to learn how to talk. You'll have to learn how to talk. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now, if you're a child of God, God sees you as dead to sin. If you really died to sin, Paul says, how in can a dead man sin? How can a dead man sin? You can't. You have to resurrect the beast. You have to get back in the flesh before you can sin. But in the spirit, with the physical portion of you dead to sin, you can't sin. You have to resurrect yourself from the dead. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And if all that criteria is met, then by whose stripes you were healed. So if we get our sins taken care of, if we come here today and we're sick, and we get our sins taken care of, and we walk in obedience to God's word, and then we're prayed for by faith, can we get healed? Sure. He's a merciful God. All you got to do is believe. Just like this young man up here on the front. I mean, that's all he did. I mean, he came here with a stroke, can't hardly walk, comes here, repents of his sins, one healing school. That's all it took for you, wasn't it? One healing school. He came to one healing school, he heard his sin, he repented of his sin, we prayed to bear faith for him, and he believed, and in 1 month he's back to work. That ain't bad for a stroke. You know. And when Ray Martinez got his stroke, it wasn't quite that easy for him. But God gave Ray a lot more warning, I believe, than he did this young man. Because this Ray came to me many times for 2 or 3 years and wanted to know what he should do with his wife. And I told him, forgive her. I ain't going to forgive her. I said, Ray, you ain't going to like it. When God swats you, you ain't going to like it. You better forgive her. Thurman, you don't know what she did. I don't care what she did. I don't care what she did. But Thurman, I said, no, you got to forgive her. You going to forgive her? No. I said, okay, I'm going home. So I went, are you going to pray for me? I said, I ain't going to do no good to pray for you. You know, until you repent, I ain't going to do no good. God ain't going to do nothing until you obey. No, I ain't going to pray for you. Well, 6-8 months later, he called me back and said, will you come over and talk to us again? Okay, I went over there. I said, I listened to him again. I said, well, you going to forgive her? No, I ain't going to forgive her. I said, right, ain't no use in bothering me. I spent 2 or 3 hours over there trying to convince him to forgive his wife. He will not. So I left again. They called me. I don't know how many times I go through this, but several. Finally, I told him, I said, you know, look, I'm tired of coming over here. I ain't coming over here no more. I said, until you repent and get right with your wife, God ain't going to do nothing but swat you. I said, you're lucky he hadn't already swatted you. And I said, when he does swat you, you ain't going to like it. Thurman, you know, God's a God of love. He would never swat me. I said, no, you don't understand. He's a God of wrath, too. And I said, he'll go so far, and then he'll bust your bottom. I said, I'm a daddy of love, too, but when my son goes so far, I get the board out. I don't mind whooping him. But I said, I didn't have to do it very many times till he learned dad meant business. And I said, one day when God swats you, you're going to find out he means business. Well, about 2 years goes by, and maybe 2.5, whatever it was, and then one day his wife called and said, Thurman, we have a major problem. Ray is down with a stroke. I said, I told him God was going to zap him. He wouldn't believe me. So I went over there, and I said, Ray, are you going to forgive her now? I thought, oh. And then he can't talk, can't really move his hand, but he's willing. He's listening now. God knows how to get our attention, you know that? When he's a big old healthy boy, you know, I mean, I ain't going to forgive her. No, what she did to me, I ain't going to forgive her. But now all of a sudden, he's seeing it from God's point of view. And he repents, and I said, okay, now I'll pray for you. Is God going to heal me? I said, yeah, but I got a feeling he ain't going to do it instantly. I said, I got a feeling you're going to have to suffer because he gave you 2.5 or 3 years to let you know what you were doing wrong. He spoke to you again and again and again, and you wouldn't listen. So I said, now you stand on his word. Walk. I said, walk in love with your wife now. Whatever you do, you better be good to that girl. And so he became the greatest husband in the next 8 months. Oh, he became a great husband. But you know when you're seeing three, when you look at her and you see three of her, hey, it ain't hard to be. Yeah. Wow, which one do I love? That's where he was. His eyes were so messed up, he saw three of everything. He could not drive or anything. Of course, he had to stay at home. But by the time 8 months had come and gone, him and her together, and they walked in love with each other, I'll have to say. At the end of the 8 months, Ray Martinez, which his testimony is back there on the Testimonies of Miraculous Healing. Ray walked out of this thing totally, completely well. 8 months later, before he got to go back to work. 8 months. But he got to go back to work at 8 months, and he's still working today. That's been years ago. But does him and his wife walk in a love walk now? It's not near as hard for him to love her now as it was. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, God knows how to get a man's attention. People say, you know, you act like you have fun with this. I really do. I enjoy it. I know what the Word says, and I know what God says He's going to do. But, you know, the thing about it is, if we'll just obey God and do what He says, I also know what He's going to do. He's going to bless your socks off. And everybody likes to be blessed, right? That's like a boy here the other day come up here, and he said, Pastor, I need a job. I hadn't got a job. I said, son, repent and quit doing your sins. Tell God you're sorry, and you walk holy in His presence. He did. I said, okay, I'll pray the prayer of faith for you. And I said, then call me back with your praise report. I said, you'll get a job quickly. He didn't quite get down the road to paradise. You know where the little store is right down here where 35 is? He almost got there Sunday afternoon after prayer, and his cell phone rang, and a guy offered him a job to be at work Monday morning. I have fun with this. This is lots of fun serving the King of the universe. You know this? God's good. He's a merciful God. He's so good. I just praise Him and thank Him. Now then, let's look at a few of these things. Let's go to Psalms 30, verse 1 through 5. Did we go there? Okay, let's go to Psalms. Let's look at a few things out of the book of Psalms. Oh, that's right. We stopped at Psalms. Oh, no, there's one other place in Psalms I want to go before I get to these little Psalms. We went from 103, 107. I want to go to Psalms 109, verse 8. 109 verse 8. And I'm going to pray this prayer for our president. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Do you think that's a good one for him? That would work very good for Pelosi and Reed and several others we got up there right now.
The problem is if Obama goes and Pelosi moves up, if Biden takes over as president and Nancy is vice president, is
that
worse?
Well, when God gets through shaking the place, we may not have anybody up there.
He can take care of them.
He can take care of all of them. That's absolutely right. Has anybody, this is not time for a commercial, I guess, but I'll just ask you the question. Has any of you seen I don't go to very many movies, but I went to one the other day. Have any of you seen the movie, The Book of Eli? No, not very many. Well, it's Hollywood's idea of what's going to happen after the nuclear war that hits the United States of America. And one of the things that a man... that God had spoken to him and told him where the Bible was, and only one Bible left, and he told him to take it to Alcatraz where they had some printing presses where they could reprint the Bible. And this man traveled all the way across the United States of America under all the hell. And you know, if you think it would be tough if somebody just give you a knapsack and a few $100s and told you to walk from the East Coast to the West Coast, you would probably grumble and complain. But if they put a knapsack on your back and handed you a sword and a pistol, and there was not a car running, not a station open, no gasoline, and everybody you run into was out to kill you and rob you. That's the way that movie was. It took that man 31 years to walk from the East Coast to the West Coast and carry that Bible. And he went through every kind of hell on earth you can imagine. But he finally made it. And he got there and he gave them that Bible. But in the 31 years, he read this book every night. And in the process of it, there was another man wanted the book. He was looking for a Bible. And he finally stole it away from this man. Just before he got there, he got the book away from him and shot him with a pistol. But he left him for dead. This guy got the Bible and he went back. And when the guy got the Bible and he finally got it unlocked and opened it, when he opened it and looked at it, it was in Braille. He couldn't read it after all, and he had this one woman that he'd been so mean to that was blind, that had learned to read Braille. And when he told her, says, "Read this to me," and she put her hand down and felt it was in Braille, but she felt it, she said, "What you always have desired, now it's so close, but yet it's so far away." He said, "Read it to me." She said, "No." And she turned and walked away. She repaid him for the evil. He had treated her like awful. He had been so mean to her and hurt her and everything else. And then when the guy gets there without the Bible, I wonder, how is he going to do this since he left the Bible with that guy? But when he gets there, he said, "I have a King James Bible with me." And they went in and they laid him down and began to doctor him and take care of him and everything. And he said, "Where's the Bible?" He said, "Get you a lot of notes, a lot of paper." And he said, "The first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word." And over the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, they had piles where guys were sitting there writing night and day as he quoted every line from the entire King James Bible. You talk about something, huh? You talk about anointed by the Holy Ghost. And then the end of the show, to tell you how fouled up Hollywood is, they get one Bible, King James Bible, printed. They take the master in to put it on the shelf. And when they put it on the shelf, it says the New King James Bible. right beside it is a white book, and it says the Holy Quran. Well, we're in a war, folks, if you ain't figured it out yet. We're in a war with the Muslims, and we got a Muslim in president in office, and he will... It's going to be very interesting. You know, just the other day down in Nigeria or wherever it was, there was a group of Muslim men that moved into the area, shot off a few guns, and people came out of their houses at night wondering what was going on. And they took their machetes and they killed 500 women and children, hacked them to death with their machetes. Those people, those same kind of people, are waiting in underground places, and at least 35 underground storage places in the United States of America, waiting for the signal to come out and start killing you. Do you know that? Most of you don't. There's 35 of them. There's one right down here close to Houston. There's one right across the border in Oklahoma. But they're all over the place. There's 35 of them. Some of them are big enough to hold several thousand people. One's down in Atlanta. But they're all over the place. And they're loaded with Muslims that are waiting to come out, be given the command to kill the infidel. That's you and me, Christians. So, be ready. You know how to stand your ground. Know how to stand with God's Word. I'm going to tell you, be armed. You know, not only with the Word, but have you a good set of guns and shells and shotguns and rifles, whatever, pistols. Be ready if they come to your house. I mean, I ain't going to lay down here. I'm just going to be the first to tell you. If they come in here and start killing people here, they're going to have to kill me. I'm going to be standing between me, them, and my family. You know, I ain't going to let them kill my family. You know, if they come, hey, they get to meet Allah quicker. You know, I hate to say it, folks, but you know, I ain't going to lay down. You know, God told us what to do. And He said, if I don't protect my family, I'm worse than an infidel. You know that's what He said? So I'm going to protect my family. You know, I hope it don't come to this, but I went to the Vietnam War. You know, I know what it is to go to the Vietnam War. You know, I know, you know, most of you have never seen a group of mamasans, women, little short women, planting rice with their long dresses all the way to the ground, and they're sprigging rice, and you walk along and you see those and you think, that's just women. They're planting rice. But all of a sudden you get by them, and all of a sudden you hear this, and you turn around and men are falling dead all around you. And you look and there's one of them little women out there with a Tommy gun between her legs. She's got it strapped up, had it strapped around her. She's got her dress pulled up and she's just mowing you down. What do you do with a woman like that? You kill her. You kill her. And that's what Jane Fonda come back and told all everybody in America. These stupid American boys are over there killing women. Yeah. You kill them because you don't kill her. She kills you. Nobody wants to kill nobody in war. But when you're in a war, you have to do whatever you have to do to stay alive. You don't go over there to die. You go over there to stay alive. You know, so we live in a sick world. Y'all know that? But in Psalms 30, verses 1 through 5. Do what thing? Oh, yeah. So all you'll know, for the healing school next month, it's going to be the first Saturday of the month to the second Saturday. So if anybody plans to come that's here today, you're going to come to next month's healing school, to come the first Saturday of April, because the second Saturday of April, I'll be in Washington at one of these marches. I've been invited to be up there and speak and teach a healing school. And as far as I know, one of the churches in the Washington area has invited me to be a speaker on Sunday morning. So I may even not get to come home Sunday. I don't know. So we'll just have to wait and see what that goes. But anyway, who knows? Maybe God's called me up for such a time as this. If He has, then glory to God in the highest. That's all I can say. In Psalms 30, verse 1, and let's use the NLT, Dave. Switch it over to the NLT. I will praise You, Lord, for You have rescued me. You rescued, you refused to let my enemy triumph over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you for help, and you restore my health. Now, whenever we get down sick and afflicted and we cry out to Him, if we're really serious about crying out to Him and we repent of our sins, does He restore our health? That's what we're here for, isn't it? To have our health restored. We want to be restored. Verse 3, 4. You brought me up from the grave. In other words, some people, and I've been many a time to a hospital. And I, in fact, when we went and prayed for this young man down there in the hospital yesterday, I was telling some of the people down there, I said, right here on this same wing downstairs where I was, a few years ago, I had led an 18-year-old young man to Jesus. When I led him to Jesus, it was in the car with his daddy out on DFW Airport. Led the boy to Jesus. I told him, now, son, I said, are you got good friends or bad friends? And his daddy immediately said, bad friends. I said, okay. I said, son, you need to leave your friends. You become a new creature today. You're no longer one of those evil, vile people. You're a son of God. You need to leave those friends and find you some good friends and start going to church. I said, you need to open the Word of God and start renewing your mind daily with the Word. And I didn't see him no more for months. And then on a Saturday morning, his daddy called me and said, Thurman, we're in Grapevine at the hospital. We found my son in the yard this morning with hypothermia, and the doctors say he may not recover. In other words, he came in last night under the influence of some kind of alcohol or drugs. He passed out in the yard, and it was just right at freezing, and he lay out there in the yard in a shirt sleeve all night. So his body was shutting down. So he said, will you come and pray for him? I said, yes. So I jumped in my pickup and I drove down there. And I went up there. When I got there, all the family had been called in because they thought this 18-year-old man is going to die. I walked in and his daddy said, he can't talk to you. I said, is he coherent? Can he hear? He said, oh yeah, he can hear you. But said, he can't talk. He can't move hardly anything. Said, he can't even raise a hand. So I walked up to him. I said, son, I told you when I got you saved that you had to leave those friends and you need to get some new friends. Didn't I tell you that? I said, now God has given you a opportunity and you blew it. I said, I'm going to tell you what. I said, now it's up to you. Today, you can either make a decision to live or to die. It's your choice. Now I want to know, do you want to live? If you do, blink your eyes. He starts doing this like this. Man, he was blinking him eyes. I said, so you want to live? Yeah, well, he couldn't talk, but boy, he's blinking him eyes. I said, okay. I said, now God's going to give you another chance. But I said, now then, if you'll repent and tell God you're sorry for not doing what I told you to do, get you some new friends, that you're sorry you sinned last night, I said, blink your eyes again and tell God you're sorry you sinned. And so, man, he's blinking him eyes. I said, okay. Now he's accepted that. I said, I laid my hand on him. I said, devil of hell, you've lost him in the name of Jesus. I said, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Now this part of my benefit package. Mark 16, 17 and 18 says, and these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I said, devil, you've lost him. I said, he's repented. So I said, devil, come out of him. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. I said, now you get up out of that bed, you're okay. I turned and started to walk out and his aunt followed me out. And once we got out in the corridor, she stopped me. She said, you're the most uncompassionate human being I have ever seen in my life. Here this boy is just about to die, and you go in there and like you're reading the riot act to him. I said, I was. That's exactly what I was doing. You heard exactly right. I said, that boy disobeyed God. I said, I've learned God's in control, and God got that boy's attention last night, but I said, you're going to see God do a magnificent miracle. I guarantee that boy is going to get well because he repented. And I prayed in faith for him. She said, I never seen nobody like you. I said, man, that's okay. You know, that's okay. Don't bother me. I said, all I got to say, there ought to be a whole lot of men just like me. And I walked out of that hospital and I come home and about 4 o'clock that afternoon, it must have been about 10 o'clock by that time when I left down there, his daddy called me and said, Thurman, we just pulled into the house. We're home. My son's fully recovered and there ain't nothing wrong with him. And see, when you repent, is God listening? Yeah, He's listening. You know, I didn't have nothing to do with His healing. All I did was told Him what the Word says. and God done the rest. It's totally between him and God. All, but it's up to you and me to tell them what the Word says. And then God will show up for you if you tell them what he said and do what he says. Then he says, sing to the Lord. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. That boy was falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord. All you godly ones, praise His holy name. Well, I'm going to tell you that Daddy was praising the Lord that afternoon when he called me. Guaranteed. Daddy was a happy guy because his son was dying. Verse 5, see what it says. His anger lasts for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may go on all night, but joy comes with the morning. See, isn't it amazing, these wonderful promises that God put in this Word? Now let's go to 31, verses 22, 23, and 24. Psalms 31, verse 22, 23, and 24. Just a few little things here in the book of Psalms. 31, 22. In sudden fear I cried out, I have been cut off from the Lord. But you heard my cry for mercy, and you answered my call for help. Love the Lord, all you faithful ones, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to Him, but He harshly punishes all who are arrogant. Now then, if you're a child of God and you're walking obedient to His Word, did He promise to take care of you there? I mean, learn these kind of promises. Learn to call upon Him in faith, because who knows what's going to happen in the future? I mean, there's going to be things happen. I mean, there's already been things happening. I mean, it's just like I was listening to a general talk this last week. A general, a retired general. He said, this deal in Fort Hood. He said, we call that everything except what it is. Terrorism. You know? I mean, when Obama heard that some guy walked in and killed a dozen people and wounded 30 or 40 more, and when they called him and told him, his first word on the air was, don't jump to conclusions about what this is. You don't have to jump to conclusions. It's a murder going on, and the guy that did it needs to be executed. Or do you want to turn a man like that loose to do that again? No, he's a Muslim. That's the way they believe. Or would you like to have been one of the 200 Muslim women and the other night in some country, I forgot which one it was, wherever it was, there was a country, and they're all Muslims, but they were two different kinds of Muslims. One of them is a Shiite Muslim, and the other one's a different kind of Muslim. And they wasn't the kind that they were angry at each other. So one group of Muslim goes over and they kill 200 women that are Muslim and then cut off all their limbs. Hack off their legs and their arms. Doesn't that sound like a lovely organization to be a part of? I don't think I want nothing to do with that, do you? But we have one of those people as president of the United States. You wonder why? Because we've turned our back on God. God's put him in office. And he's going to put in all these new plans. Then God's going to shake this country. The next 5 years, you ain't going to know this country. In 5 more years of the devastation that's coming, you ain't going to know America. It's going to be different. Boy, 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 you better make sure that you know Jesus. That's all I got to say. Wow. Love the Lord. Verse 24. So be strong and take courage, all you who put your hope in the Lord. If you put your hope in the Lord, be strong.
That concludes part one of the Healing School titled, It's a Good Thing We're Not Depending on Your Faith. We now join part two in progress.
Okay, praise the Lord. Let's get started again here. All y'all that are still walking around the walls and looking and everything, as soon as the service is over, you can stay as long as you like. I won't run nobody off. I don't ever close the door until I have to. Whenever the last one goes out, that's one thing we don't do. We don't have a certain set time, so we just try to get it all done and then just love God and have a good time and let y'all shop and if the girls have to, they go back and refill up the all the areas where you've got your CDs and DVDs, and we fill them up again. And we got a bunch of stock back there, and when we run out, we'll make some more.
Amen.
Yeah, we can Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't He? He's a good and mighty God. I love serving the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing Him do His wonderful things. Oh my goodness. I am a son of the King of the universe and I have no fear. I'm not afraid of anything or anybody. Praise God. Amen, amen, and amen. No fear whatsoever. Amen. That's it. Perfect love cast out all fear. Praise God. So we have no fear here. Okay, we're getting all back ready to go again. I think we got everything going up there. We're okay. We're going again. Okay, praise the Lord. Now then, let's see what we got going here. I was in these Psalms, talking a little bit about these Psalms. I want to go to Psalms 34, verses 4 through 17. I want to read a little bit out of these Psalms, just a little bit. There's some good stuff in the Psalms, you know that? I mean, you ought to read them often, you know, so I forget how many hundred times I went in one time, looked up the word praise in the 150 Psalms, and I forget, I think it was 250 times or whatever the Lord says, praise me. I think the King's trying to tell us He wants us to praise Him. And most people never do that. Psalm 34, verses 4 through 17. 34:4. There we go. And I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me, freeing me from all my fears. Now, isn't that amazing? You pray to God. I have people coming here all the time, and they're living in fear. They really are. They're just living in fear. You know, I mean, they're just shaking. They're so afraid of everything. I said, you don't have to be afraid of nothing. If you're willing to serve God and love Him, all you got to do is call on Him. I said, He'll show up. But when you call on Him, don't be like the young man and his mother and father. They were, this young boy, he wasn't all together. He's had some kind of a mental or physical problem. I don't know what it was, but he was still at home with mom and dad in their later years, and they're out farming. And, of course, back in those days, when a long time ago, they used to hoe their peanuts and everything with a hoe. You know, I mean, I know I done that. So, anyway, they were out there, and they just wanted to hoe out the row, and as they're getting there, they see a big storm coming. And so this big storm's coming up there, and he said, Mom, Dad, we better start to the house, or we're going to get wet. And they said, well, let's finish out to the end real quick. Let's hoe as quick as we can and get to the end. So they did, and by that time, just about the time they got to the end, this thing's there, lightning began to strike and everything else, and Mom and Dad, they're running. I mean, they're screaming and everything else, and finally, the mom stops. She said, oh, God, please don't kill us. He said, Mom, come on, there ain't no use that a scared prayer God don't hear. I said, you might as well just run. And I thought, you know, that's true. A prayer of faith is the only thing that moves the hand of God. It's not a scared prayer. So if you're praying in fright or in fear, you ain't going to get through to God. So you got to remember, come, let us call on the Lord. Let us exalt His name. I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me, freeing me from all my fears. Verse 5 and 6. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. That should be every one of us. I mean, we should have joy unspeakable. We ought to be radiant. You ought to be smiling. You ain't got a smile on your face? Slap yourself a couple of times and say, smile. You should be smiling. You're children of the King. You don't know how lucky you are to be a child of God. Do you know there's only 3% of the population of the whole world know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Only 3%. And think, you're part of that 3%. You know how fortunate that makes you? That makes you so fortunate. I mean, you ought to be praising God, thanking Him. Lord, I thank You and I praise You that I'm one of the 3%. I love You and I praise You and I worship You. That means not only do I have You attached to me, not only do I have Your power attached to me, not only can I call on Your name for anything, but I have power over the devils of hell. They have to be subject to me in the name of Jesus. I mean, and most Christians don't know this. They don't know this. But I cried out to the Lord in my suffering, and He heard me. He set me free from all my fears. All we got to do is cry out to God. You know, I mean, but I'll tell you what, you won't have to cry out to Him near as often if you go around all the time just praising Him. If you're just praising the Lord, thanking Him, worshiping Him, you don't have to call on Him very often, because that guarantee He'll send His angels and He'll protect you, and you won't never get in that real tight spot where you need to call upon Him to deliver you from your fears, because that won't ever come. All you got to do is walk around praising the Lord. Wow. 7 and 8. For the angel of the Lord guards all who fear Him, and He rescues them. You see, that's what I was just telling you. If you fear God, and you walk in obedience to Him, you go around praising Him all the time, who's He going to send to protect you? Angels. You know what I'd like to see one day? I'd love to be preaching and all of a sudden everybody just jump up and start dying. What is wrong with y'all? And they said, look behind you. And I turn around and there's an angel that his head just barely would go in this building. Just be standing up with his wings, doing his wings like this, you know, just saying, hi guys. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you think those boys are here? Yeah, they're here. You just hadn't had the privilege to manifest and see them, but they're here. Now, I've seen at least 3 angels in my life, but they weren't big ones. They were just little ones. Actually, I've seen 4. Yeah, the three that I saw that was with me in the Cook's Medical Center, they looked just like normal men, but they talked to me. You know, as I was walking down the corridor that night after I'd been fighting the battle for my granddaughter's life, and I'd been praying for all these children there that were on their deathbeds and watching the King heal them, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm coming home. I'm walking down the corridor kind of slow. There ain't nobody else out there. And all of a sudden, this little guy, I hear somebody walking, and I look, and he walks right up beside me and starts walking the same speed I am. And, of course, I look at him. When I look him right in the eye, he's looking me right in the eye, and this is what came out of his mouth. The Lord said to tell you, He loves you. I stopped. He just kept right on walking. I thought, now, where have I seen this guy? I don't remember ever seeing that guy before in my life. Well, he walked right on down to the corner and around and out, and I thought, who is that? Anyway, I meditated on it, but the next Thursday night, I believe it was Thursday night, Wednesday night or Thursday night, the middle of the week, the next week, I've still been praying for babies in the hospital and standing with Caitlin, and as I'm going down that corridor, same time, about the same time of the morning, I'm walking just slow, and this guy overtakes me, and when he walks right up beside me and starts walking the same speed I am, I look to see who it is. When I do, I look him right in the eye. He's looking me right in the eye, and this different guy, he said, the Lord said to tell you, He loves you. And I thought, who are these guys? You know, where did they come from? You know, and so he just walked on and went out of sight. And so next week, same thing. This time I'm walking down the corridor about like this, you know, just going home. I ain't no hurry. I'm just praising God. And all of a sudden, another guy overtakes me, and I look at him. And when I turn to look at him, he's looking at me right now, and he says, the Lord said to tell you, He loves you. And I said, well, I'm going to find out who this guy is. He took about 4 or 5 steps and turned left, went around the corner. I ran to the corner where he just turned and looked down that corridor in Cook's Medical Center, and there ain't nobody there. That's when I knew it was one of the Lord's angels of fire. And He'd sent those angels to tell me that He loved me. He was happy with me. Boy, if there's anything I want to hear, son, I'm happy with you. I don't want to hear this nonsense. And a couple of times He has told me He wasn't happy with me and I didn't like Him. He told me that too. Oh, goodness gracious. I don't like it when God tells me He ain't happy. Whew, I tell you for sure. But for the angel of the Lord guards all who fear Him, and He rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who trust in Him. Wow. When you trust in Him, it's beyond your wildest dreams. I just love to tell the story about me being a pilot and loving to fly airplanes, and how that when I was an engineer, I struggled and saved every dollar I could to have a little single engine airplane. And then I could only fly it once in a while because I didn't have money for gas. You know, I mean, it's amazing what it costs to own an airplane. But I had an inexpensive one. But, I was just an engineer by trade, and I had a family to raise, and I couldn't spend a lot of money on an airplane. But I wanted one. But I had one way back yonder. And anyway, I finally had to sell it. And so I thought, well, that's it. I won't never, ever, ever have another airplane. But God, in His infinite grace, as I got closer to Him, started serving Him and doing the ministry, one of the men that worked with me in the ministry said, Thurman, you used to be an airline pilot, didn't you? And I said, yes. I said, but that's been a long time ago. He said, well, why don't we buy an airplane, and therefore all these smaller cities we go to, we can go and you can fly it. I thought, that's not a bad idea. And so I thought, well, I guess I haven't flown in, almost 40 years, So I thought, okay. So he said, well, I'm going to buy an airplane. And I said, okay. I said, before you buy one, let me check it out. He said, don't worry. So he called me one day and said, I bought an airplane. And I said, what do you mean you bought an airplane? I hadn't looked at it yet. He said, oh, don't worry. I said, you never know. You're not an A&P mechanic. You're not a pilot. You don't know whether you got a good deal or not. He said, oh, yeah, I know I got a good deal. I said, how do you know? He said, I bought a brand new one. I said, you bought a brand new airplane? He said, yes. And they gave me 3 days of schooling on all the instruments, and I signed you and me up to go up to Kansas to go to 3 days of school together. I said, oh, my goodness. So a guy come by and picked me and him up and flew us up there to pick up his new airplane. We went up there and we go to the school, and for the first time in my life, I saw my new glass cockpits. I had never seen anything like this in my life. And I got to go to a school for 3 days. And of course, the second day after we've been through all these schools on this airplane, I went out and I was going to do my flying with a girl about 25 years old. And she says, are you current? And I said, well, no. She said, well, how long has it been since you've flown? I said, well, now here she is 25 years old. So I said, a little over 20 years. I hate to tell her 40, because, that's almost double her age. And I thought she'd say, 40? I don't know if I want to fly with this old guy or not, So she said, I may be a little rusty since I haven't flown in over 20 years. But I said, just sit there. And if you see me do anything that's stupid, you take over, okay? She said, no problem. So I take the engine and we taxi out and I talk on the radio and I take our airplane off and I go around and I come around and I land it and squeak it on pretty good. And I said, can I do another one? She said, well, yeah, but that was pretty good. I said, okay. So I did one more and I said, okay, now I'm ready. We'll go out and do whatever you want to do flying. She said, how long you say it had been since you'd been flying? I said, well, almost 40 years. She said, 40 years? I said, but I didn't do too bad, did I? She said, that was excellent. I said, okay, praise God. So anyway, we went out and done some flying, and then on the way home, after 3 days, Ty and I, we flew his brand new airplane. We went through 3 days of school. We thought we knew how all this stuff worked, but we really didn't. And so we really had to read the book on the way home, his brand new airplane from up in Kansas. It was quite a trip. But I thought I would never be able to own an airplane. But I got to looking and we found this big, beautiful twin that we fly everywhere in now, this big 421. When I found that thing and I found out what it cost, and I thought, wow, God, that's what I really want. I'd love to have that. But, Lord, it takes a lot of money to buy an airplane like that. So Cheryl was in, we were in bed one night and the phone rang, and the person was talking to Cheryl, and after she talked to her, said, is there anything your ministry needs? And Cheryl said, well, Thurman's looking at an airplane. Well, how much does it cost? Well, she told her, the person. And nothing else was said. But the next day, not a week later, the next day, Federal Express pulled up out there with a little envelope for me, and it had a check in it to pay cash for that airplane. Is he good? Now then, if you serve him, there's no good thing he'll withhold from his obedient children. So when you learn that to be obedient and do what God says, anything your heart desires, he'll give it to you. That's all he wants, is obedient children. And wow, what a daddy to serve. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he releases them to whoever he wants to. And it's fun when you get him to release some of it to you. I guarantee you it is. Praise the Lord. Okay, we were on the... Okay, next couple of verses. Let the Lord's people show him reverence, for those who honor him will have all they need. How much will you have?
All
you need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will never lack any good thing. Do you like that? Does it pay good dividends to serve God? Ooh, does it pay good dividends to serve God? 11 and 12. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Do any of you want to live a life that is long and good?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. See, when the Lord asks you a question, tell him, Lord, that's me. Lord, I mean, that's why he writes these kind of things in his word. Lord, I want a long, good life. Yes, Lord, that's me. Then, yes. Well, let's see what he says, 13 and 14. Then watch your tongue. Now, that's not what we want to hear him say next, was it? Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. Keep your lip from telling lies. See, I mean, everything comes with a demand here, you know. There's something, a consequence. You've got to obey God. Turn away from evil and do good. Now see, there's a lot of young men today that think that they can put one foot on one side of the fence and one on the other side. We can go to church on Sunday. We can cuss and run around with the wild boys during the week. God won't ever understand. He won't ever see us. But he does. And you wonder why all these bad things happen to you? When I think about this right here, I think about a man that was the director of a church camp. He called me one day and said, Thurman, I got some of your CDs. And he said, I've never heard this kind of teaching in my life. He said, I want to ask you, I have these epileptic attacks. And he said, I'm a director and I teach youth. And he said, there's nothing any more intimidating than have an epileptic seizure on the platform when you're trying to teach a bunch of young people. He said, it's terrible. And I said, he said, from what I understand from listening to you, there's a reason I have those. I said, absolutely. And I said, all we've got to do is find out what it is. He said, how in the world would I find out what it is? I said, if you don't know of any sin you've committed in your life, you haven't repented of, ask God, and he will tell you what you've done wrong. So he began to petition God. He got serious with God. And here's a man's been to seminary, everything, got a good education, and he's having this problem. So he gets on his face before God, and he calls me one day and said, Thurman, I got my answer from God. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was praying and asking what I did wrong. And he said, all of a sudden, the thought came to me so clear when I was a 15-year-old boy. I wanted to go with some of my friends to a rock concert. And I asked my daddy if I could go, and he said, absolutely not. So he said, I promised him I wouldn't go since he didn't want me to go. But he said, I went somewhere else that night and met those friends, and we went to that rock concert anyway. He said, I lied to my dad, and I deceived my dad. And he said, I had no idea that brought a demon into my life. So he immediately repented, asked God to forgive him for deceiving his dad. And he repented to God and told God how sorry he was that he did. Because does the Scripture say, children, obey your parents in all things? Is that what it says? So that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life? Oh, do you think God don't mean what he says? Oh, he means exactly what he says. This young boy did not honor his dad. He did not obey his dad. and he got a demon, and he'd carried this thing all these years, started having epileptic seizures within 2 or 3 years after that. The demon didn't manifest immediately. Give him 2 or 3 years before he started having seizures. So he never put the two together. But now then, he's repented. We cast out the demon, command the beast to leave, and the boy has never had another epileptic seizure as the administrator of that camp. Is God good?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good God. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. But does the King mean business when he talks?
Yeah.
Yes, he means business when he talks. If he tells you something, he says, watch your tongue. And keep your lips from telling lies. If he told you to do that, does he mean business?
Yes.
Yes, he means business. You know, I think about that right there too, that very same verse on watching your tongue. I think about the couple from Oregon that we dealt with for a long time when they heard Caitlin's miracle the first time. I mean, they called and they got a little 6.5-year-old girl named Gina, and she's got eczema all over her body. She just has oozing, running sores. She was born with these things. She's clawing, scratching all the time. Can't sleep. Mother can't sleep. They're having all kinds of problems. They called, want me to pray for her, get her healed. I said, it's not quite that simple. I said, there's a sin that brought it in the world. I said, you and your husband done something to curse this little girl that brought her into the world, and we got to find out what that sin is. And until we find out, the sin with the little girl cannot be healed. And so they listened to a whole bunch of my teaching for months, and they repented of everything that known to man. And we prayed and prayed and prayed for a year and a half, repented and prayed for a year and a half. Nothing happened. I finally told them one day, you're going to have to get on your face for God. You're going to have to find out what the sin is. God's going to require the sin to be confessed. So they got on their face before God. They began to really get serious. And one morning the mother sat up on the edge of the bed, and she said, when I sat up, I heard the Lord say, lying and deception. And she said, I knew what that meant. Said, when I was 39 years old, my husband was 43. I went to him and told him, my biological clock is ticking and I wanted one more baby before I got too old. And he said, no. Now see, the Word of God also says, wives, you must submit to your husbands in all things. In other words, obey your husband. He's the spiritual head of your house. But she didn't. She didn't. She promised him that she would do everything she could to keep from getting pregnant because he didn't want any more children. At 43, he didn't want one when he was 65. He didn't want a teenager in high school. And I can understand that. But she done everything she could to get pregnant. And then when she finally did get pregnant, of course, you know, it's real easy to say, well, you know, look, it's God's will for us to have another baby. So she's pregnant. So she brought a little girl into the world. 9 months later, she'd been sick for 6.5 years when we started. By the time it was over, 8 years, the little girl had been sick. I have 9 pictures of this little girl in a little pair of shorts with all these oozing, running sores all over her body. And then when mother finally learned her sin of lying and deception, she repented to God and repented to her husband, and he forgave her. We prayed one more prayer, and in 2 weeks, little Gina took on a complete brand new coat of skin without a single scar on her body. Now, who in the world do y'all think did done that? It was just a coincidence, huh? Who do you think healed her? God. Sure, just like he healed you. The same God. The same one that did everything. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, let me tell you, the other day, Dave and I went back and we were looking up and we read that story. And, you know, she very clearly in a, I don't know, 2 or 3 or 4 page email that Dave read to me, it's very clear. She says, anybody that has a problem with what you teach about sin and sickness, she said, if you didn't have another case in the world besides ours. She said, ours absolutely confirms that God would not heal our daughter till I repented of the sin. And when I repented of the sin and got right with him and my husband, then all it took was one simple prayer and God completely healed our daughter. And I have 4 pictures of that little girl, and she's a beautiful little girl at 8 years of age. Now she's probably 9, I guess, now at least. but she doesn't have a mark or a scar on her body. Now, when God healed Dave, he left the scars. You can still see the scars on Dave's body. But little Gina, he was so awesome. He healed that little body and gave her a brand new coat of skin. She's just as slick and smooth and white as a brand new baby that had come out of the womb. Do we serve an awesome Jesus?
Yes.
He can only He can do these kind of things. So praise God. Now then, let's go to the next couple of verses. Oh, back up one time. I don't think I covered that last verse. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. See, now God knew it was going to be hard to work in peace with others, didn't He? You know. Now, is it hard to work in peace with each other? I mean, when you take a man and a wife, a woman and a man, sometimes it really takes work to keep it at peace at home, doesn't it? I mean, in their times, you know. That's just like we was I forget where we were, a Home Depot or somewhere, Cheryl and I, yesterday. And she was giving me orders about this, do that, whatever, and everything. And the young man there, I said, young man, I said, are you married? He said, no, I'm not married. I said, well, don't get married. Cheryl said, well, gee whiz, thanks a lot. Oh, goodness gracious. But can you have problems even between a husband and wife? Sure, you can. Do you have to work hard at keeping peace at home? Sure, it's not easy. You have to work at it. But the Lord tells you there, turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. But if He tells you what to do, that's what you want to do. Okay, the next two verses. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. Now, I don't want to be one of those, do you? Absolutely not. Verse 17. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to... Let's go to Psalm 41, 1 through 4. And then we're going to go one more psalm, and then we're going to get out of the psalms into something else. The next one is an awesome one, but this one's a good one too. 41, 1 through 4. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. Are you kind to the poor? You help those that are in need? The Lord says there's special joy to those. The Lord rescues them in times of their troubles. So if you want to be rescued in times of trouble, you help the poor. You help the people. It said, the Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity and rescues them from their enemies. Now, who's he doing all this for? Those that are good to the poor. Is that right, brother? Absolutely. Verse 3 and 4. The Lord nurses them when they are sick. Now, I can't think of anybody I'd rather have nursing me than Jesus. Had you? If I'm sick, I think He is the most awesome healer there is. Is He not, young lady? So, if we have been good to the poor, we've helped them and blessed them, then we can call upon Him on His promises where, Lord, You promised me You would nurse me back to health. And He will do it. When you call upon Him, when you find these kind of promises in His Word, you hang on to these promises. And you say, Lord, You made this promise. He said, oh, I do watch over My Word to perform My Word. Doesn't He? That's what He says. The Lord nurses them when they are sick, and He eases their pain and discomfort. Now, when somebody is in pain, there ain't nothing like getting rid of that pain. There's only one thing I hate worse than pain. You know what it is? More pain. That's exactly right. I mean, more pain. I don't like pain. Glory to God. I love to be... My dad, when he was 50 years old, I was 15 years old, and I come in one day, and Dad had been out working on his old bulldozer, and he was down on his back, and he was sitting there in an easy chair, and I walked in, and I said, he was sitting back with his head back, and I said, Dad, are you okay? He said, oh, he said, I'm okay. He said, I'm hurting. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, I hurt my back today. I said, what can you do about it? He said, nothing. Take a couple of Anacins and go on. He said, when you pass 50, you're just going to have aches and pains. He said, all you do, just take a couple more Anacins and go on. He said, you'll find out one day when you get 50. My dad didn't know what I've learned. I passed 50 to 71 and no pain. No pain. Now, I like no pain. Don't you? Amen. Hey, hey, you're right there with me on that. You don't want no pain either, right?
Yeah, you're the age of the brother that would have been between C and I when my brother lost a child.
Wow.
Yeah. He's 8 years younger. You're 4 years younger than me.
Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm just a spring chicken. I'm only 17. You know, take those numbers 71 and look at them right. They can make 17 out of those things. You know, so the oh Lord, I prayed, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. Ooh, I mean, I don't want to sin against God. Do you?
No, sir.
Not at all. So we want to get rid of that. Now let's go to this last psalm. We're going to go to Psalms 91, verses 1 through 16, because I believe the time is here, and really here, that you're going to need Psalms 91.
Amen.
Psalms 91. If you don't know Psalms 91, you better learn Psalms 91. Because whenever something starts going nuts, in fact, there was a lady came by a while ago and said that Dr. Williams had posted a bulletin that there's not 35 of these underground Muslim strongholds, but there's 62 of them now. Isn't that comforting? 62? Well, now would be a good time to know Psalms 91. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now then, there's not very many people in the church that I know that's living there. We may be going to church, but we're not abiding under the shadow of the Most High God. To abide there, that means He's on your heart and your mind 24/7. I mean, you're abiding in Him. You talk about Him. You praise Him. I mean, you're sitting there I'm sitting in my office reading and talking about the Lord, studying His Word. I get up and walk around the corner of the desk and say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Walk down the corridor, walk around where Charles is making CDs. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't think you're tired of hearing it or not, but I really don't care. Well, I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do. Did He tell me to praise Him?
Yes.
Yes, He did. Then why not do what the King says? I love the King when He answers my prayer, don't you? I love it. So I'm going to continue to worship and praise the Lord. Jesus, He that dwelleth in the secret place. I love dwelling in the secret place because I love walking in faith, but I'm tired of walking in such little faith. I want some great faith now. I want to get up there. I want to really see some awesome things. Well, I mean, goodness gracious, there's no limitations to what you can do. I mean, you know, I mean, I've spoken to storms. I've seen them stopped. I've spoken to tornadoes. I've seen them stopped. You know, I've spoken to lightning that was hitting all around the place and it stopped. You know, I've spoken to sickness and disease and I've seen it healed. I've spoken to people's backs and seen God give brand new backs. I've laid hands on crushed legs and spoken He's given them brand new knees. But that's just minor faith. I want to see some big time stuff. You know, it may be in the very near future that when Planet X comes, somebody may have to speak to that beast. In the name of Jesus. We speak to that planet and we command the magnetic pull to not be sufficient to do any damage to the earth. You say, whoa, that would be some kind of faith. I know the one that can make that happen, don't you? And He's Jesus. He's the one who's in control. And when you speak in faith, He will honor your words. Hey, in fact, what He might do, He might just say, well, Thurman, I'll tell you what, yes, you have developed the faith I want you to have, but I'm going to go ahead and judge the world. I'm going to turn it upside down, but you won't never know that it happened. Everything's going to be normal for you. You know, you won't get slung off or nothing. Wouldn't you like for that to happen? I'm going to protect you. You'll go along with that, right?
Hallelujah.
I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, from right there on Psalms 91, I'm going to take you just a second to Isaiah 24, verse 1. I just want some of you to see that scripture. That's a scary scripture, you know, what God says He's fixing to do to the earth. I want you just to see it. Look, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and He makes it waste, and He turns it upside down, and scatters abroad the inhabitants. That's pretty violent, isn't it, brother? I mean, that's just about as violent as you can get, right? What would you say that is? Is that a real happy God that did that to His people? You think He might be just a little ticked off? I think He might be a lot ticked off. And so, since every time, everything we do, I mean, here we go to have a Bible study class. You can't have a Bible study class. We want to pray in the name of Jesus at the football game. Oh, no, you can't do that. But now if you want to pray in the name of Allah, that's okay. No, we want to pray in Washington. Oh, no, we ain't having no National Days of Prayer no more. I ain't going to honor that. But I'll go down the street and we'll have a prayer meeting to Allah. And we want to know why God's getting a little ticked off. Ooh. I mean, you better be an obedient Christian. You're going to have more than sickness and disease to worry about. Because if you happen to be on the earth and you're not pleasing Him, I don't want Him to slang me off into space, do you? How would you like for the earth to start wobbling and doing everything and all of a sudden you see yourself being slung out into space? Well, all you got to say is, might as well get ready to die. You know, it's just like the book of Revelation, you know, when it says there that He's going to shake up this earth and He's going to bring... I mean, John clearly said there in the book of Revelation, he said, and I saw a mountain as on fire falling out of the sky, hitting the ocean. A mountain on fire. And it destroyed a third of all the waters in the whole world. Poisoned them. And then it says, after the earthquake, the great earthquake. Now, if you think these earthquakes we've just seen were great, no, those are not great. Although probably millions of people, I mean, just like down there in Chile the other day, although 800 people, they said, is all they think, died in Chile, but there was 500,000 houses and buildings that are not inhabitable. A 500,000 houses. So guess what? The people are living out on the streets. Does it sound like a ticked off God? You think He might be just a little upset? I think He is too. And so, I don't know about you, but I know what He said that He would do for those of us that walk in obedience to His Word. Now, right here, as we're seeing, when we go back to the book of Psalms 91, we're going to see in Psalms 91, verse 2, we're going to see what He did. He said, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my God, and Him will I trust. You can't be ashamed of Him. You know, He's my Lord, He's my God. I'm not ashamed of my King. Somebody says, in this store, you can't talk in the name. You can't talk in that name. What name? The name of Jesus? Oh, okay, I won't talk to you about it, but I'm going to talk to everybody else in here about it. That's just like the other day, I was here a while back, I was in Home Depot. I was looking at some parts, and a lady walked up and said, oh, Thurman Scrivener. She said, can I ask you a favor? I said, sure. She said, my brother is having troubles. Would you pray for him? I said, what's his name? She gave me his name. I just stepped out one step from against the wall where the rack, and I held up both hands. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to the throne of grace, and I begin to pray for her brother. And after I got through praying for her brother, I opened my eyes and let my hands down and looked, and she's just pink. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, good grief, I didn't know you was going to do it right now. I said, if you don't want me to pray right now, don't ask me. You know, if you want me to pray right now, ask me right now. If you want me to pray tomorrow, ask me tomorrow. But I don't wait till I get home in the secret of my own home. I pray in the name of Jesus. Eldon and I was getting stuff when we was building this building. We was over at Home Depot again, the same thing. And I'm over there, I'm getting carts, and he's getting carts of stuff, and he's got a list, and I got a list, and he's over there on that aisle. I see him through there, and I say, Eldon, praise the Lord. I said, you find that certain thing you want? Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, and of course, he's talking like this, I'm talking like this, and finally, we get all this stuff. We finally get up there to check out, and there was a guy in front of us, and he said, you know, I just got back from a mission trip, and I thought I was a violent Christian. But he said, I ain't nowhere close to where you two guys are. He said, but I'm going to get there. Now see, everybody's listening to what you're saying, right? If you ain't talking about Jesus and walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, they may never see another human being do that. Today may be their last day on the earth. You don't know that. That's why God sent you and me out. That's why He told us. And if you see somebody in a place of business that's got a sickness or a disease, you don't hesitate to stop and ask them if you can pray for them. I mean, Cheryl, her and her daughter was leaving a Walmart here a while back, and one of the girls was all crying and everything else. Cheryl said, what's wrong with you? She said, oh, my son, he's on drugs, and he won't accept Jesus. And, oh, she was just all upset. And Cheryl said, it's right there checking out at a Walmart check stand. Cheryl said, let's go to the throne of grace for that boy. I mean, right there in Walmart, her and Christy, and she's as violent as I am, you know. So she throws her hands up and starts praying and rebuking the devil and calling on the name of Jesus and Lord, deliver him from the drugs and all that stuff and fill him, save him and fill him with the Holy Ghost and everything else. Then she said, he'll do something great. And they walked off. Two or three months later, Christy went back by there, and when she did, she saw her. She said, Christy, you got to tell your mother about what her prayers did. Said, my son's come to Jesus. He's accepted Jesus. He's in the church, and he's playing in the church band already. Now, what kind of power do we have over the devil? All. So see, don't ever miss an opportunity to pray. That's what God puts you out there for. Somebody said, well, he can do it anyway. No, you can't. God don't do nothing until you pray. When you pray, ain't nothing impossible, but until you pray, ain't nothing possible.
Yes.
Amen.
Talking about witnessing, I'm retired now from Lockheed Martin. I was an inspector for 42 years. And I handled all the different tests and so forth. But anyway, we would give all these countries that are buying the F-16, we'd give them a couple of hundred training hours. And so my inspection supervisor came up one day with this gentleman, and he said, Eddie, this is Colonel Hassanov. He's over in Egyptian airplane base. And so we're putting him with you for the entire day. He wants you to show him how you're checking the parts, what all you're doing, the equipment. Let him write it down and so forth. And so I said, okay. And so then that day, and with a strain, understanding everything he said, but it was pretty good. It'd been horrible if I tried to speak Egyptian. We talked about how the aircraft were made dealing with the Russian people and their Russian MiGs. But anyway, he requested, he showed up again the next day. My supervisor said, he's requested to be put back with you today again, Eddie.
Praise the Lord.
So, I just had to say something about the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, I knew this, you know, could be, if I didn't handle it correctly, it might be, could be potentially something good. But I knew we had a good rapport, and he brought back his wife's picture and his kids and showed it to me and so forth. So I said, isn't Ishmael the father of your country? He went, yaw, you know, going on like that. And he said, so I guess he assumed I was a Christian or something. He said, well, you know, the Quran, it does mention the name of Jesus. And I said, yes, I understand that it does. But I said, your Quran, the way I understand it, only says that Jesus is a prophet. But I said, I found out, it's proven to me, that I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Alive in me, and I love Him.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
So, and he smiled.
Yeah. That's all you can do. You can talk to people and tell them about Jesus wherever you are. Don't hesitate to talk to people about Jesus.
Amen.
Now then, in Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2, we've got to be willing to say, just like he did, the Lord, who he is to you. Don't be shameful. Then verse 3 and 4. Let's see what happens if we meet the criteria of 1 and 2. Then he says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, you know who the fowler is? That's the devil. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The devil, here's the thing that people don't, it took me a long time to understand this. It took me years and years and years of studying the Scripture to finally get to this point that when God says clearly in His Word, all things were made by Jesus. All things were made by Him and for Him, and there's nothing exists except He made it. Both thrones and dominions and powers, principalities, both visible and invisible, everything that was made by Jesus and for His glory. So I finally realized one day that Jesus made the devil. He made him for His glory. That the devil works for Jesus. Jesus is in control of him. There's not a problem with this battle. When I learned this, and I learned that the devil works for Jesus, Jesus is in total control. He has given a set of rules to the devil and told him exactly what he can do and can't do, and that if I obey Jesus, the devil can't touch me. Because right here it says, if I make Jesus, if I dwell in the secret place with the Most High God, and I'm willing to say He's my Lord, my Savior, He says, surely Jesus shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence or the raging epidemic or the sickness and disease. He's going to deliver me. Again, here's another place where He clearly says that He'll take care of me. He will protect me from the devil, and He'll protect me from all sickness and disease. And another one of those cases where if I obey Jesus, I don't never have to be sick again in my life. Now, that's good news. That's good news. But most people in church today don't know that. They do not know that. Just like those scriptures we went through a while ago, we only went through three places where the Lord said, if you obey me and do what I say, I will take how much sickness away?
All.
Hey, that means if He takes all, how much does that leave to make you sick?
None.
You don't have to have it, do you?
Nope,
not at all. So, and the minute something comes up on you, just like the other day, I was fixing to get out of the shower. The other morning, I'd got up and I thought, well, I'll take a shower. And I'd got hot in the night and I'd sweated a little bit. And so I thought, well, I need a shower. I don't want to go out there smelling bad. So I jumped in a good shower and took a shower. And after I got dried off, you know, and I started to twist like this. And all of a sudden, I thought, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Now, we ain't going there, devil. I said, I ain't going to entertain that. I said, now I have walked in total obedience to my God. I've got every sin repented of. You have no claim over me. Jesus clearly said in James 4:7, if I submit myself to the King, then I can resist you, devil, and you're going to have to flee from me. So I said, I know you're trying to put a little twinge in my back to put me down in my back like you used to do on a regular basis. But I didn't know these things then. But I know these things now. So I said, no, you ain't going to do it. And so I went ahead and dried off and got out of the tub. And I'm standing there putting my clothes on and starting to do something. I started to move again and I heard, kick. I said, oh, and I said, devil. I said, what did you not understand, Mr. Beast? I said, in the name of Jesus, I have all power over you. You might as well get out of here right now. I said, in Jesus' mighty name, I begin to quote scriptures like Luke 10, 19, and 20 and all those kind of scriptures. I said, you got to obey me, you beast. So I said, you get your little self and you get right outside of this building. You go plumb off my property and I don't want you nowhere around. Just get out in the name of Jesus and I am not going to tolerate you no more. In the name of Jesus, I ain't going to have another one of these pains. Jesus bore my pain. He took away my sickness. I don't have to go there. So I'm resisting you, devil, in Jesus' name. And I said, thank you, Lord. I praise you and worship you. Then I just went ahead and put my clothes on, praise, worship the Lord, come in, had me a little bite to eat, and I worked all day long, and I forgot about the pain. I ain't never had one since. See? How much power do we have over the devil? I don't know what it is we don't understand about all. It's such a wonderful gift. I will keep you free from the snare of the fowler and for the raging it says noisome pestilence, but that means raging epidemic or sickness and disease, the plague. I'll protect you. Well, if He's going to protect us, then if all kinds of sickness and disease starts coming upon us, what do we need to go back and look at? Verse 1 and 2. Is that right? You go back and look at verse 1 and 2. What did he say do in verse 1? Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Is that what he said? Maybe we're not dwelling in the secret place. And you say, well, I'm dwelling in the secret place. I said, what do you think means you're dwelling in the secret place? Well, let's see. I went to church 3 weeks ago. Oh, you went to church 3 weeks ago. Have you read the Word any since then? No. Have you spent any time in front of the television? Well, I don't spend but 2 or 3 hours a day. And you want to know why you're sick? You're not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Well, 3 weeks ago when you were in church, did you tell somebody about Jesus? Well, no. I just listened to the preacher preach. He was doing a pretty good job, so I didn't tell nobody. I didn't say nothing. So when you left there, you went to dinner somewhere, did you not even say hi to anybody about Jesus? Tell them that He's your Savior or nothing? Did you pray over your food where everybody could hear you? No. I said, you ain't dwelling. And you ain't meeting criteria of verse 2 where it says, say the Lord, He's my refuge, my strength. In Him, He's my God, and I trust in Him. Yes. Is that what you got to do, girl?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it makes it a little easier when you do it His way, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be sick near as often, do you? I love being well, don't you?
Amen.
Now, the Word of God, can the Word of God be wrong?
No.
No, it cannot be wrong. So if I make Him, the Most High God, my dwelling place, and I'm saying of the Lord, He's my refuge and He's my strength, and I love Him and praise Him, then what did He promise to do automatically in verse 3? Keep me safe from the devil. And no sickness and disease will come upon me. Is that what He said? I only got to do the first two things. And then He takes care of the rest of them. Then He says, He will cover, verse 4 says, He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth. Yeah, absolutely. His truth is the Word of God. And when you get a hold of the things you can do, wow. Verse 5 and 6. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. So what should we be afraid of as His children?
Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, the arrows are being shot all around you. You know, chances are that if God were to open our spiritual eyes, we'd probably see walking down the street, and here's a demon over here with a fiery dart drawn, and here's a guy standing over here on the other side, and he's looking at this girl back down the street down there and eyeballing her and saying, whoa, look at that girl, you know. And it's probably a fiery dart that goes from him right through you, right into him, but it don't touch you, but it went right through you. You see what I mean? It's a spiritual weapon that's been fired, a fiery dart, but it couldn't touch you because you had no sin in your life. As long as you're walking in total obedience to God's Word, this raging battle that's going on in the spirit world, these flaming darts can go right through you, won't touch you. You can't feel them. All you got to do is get a little sin mixed in there with it, and then there's something in there for that arrow to stop on. And it'll stop. And then it'll make you sick. It will afflict you. Now, I've seen Eldon take people that had gross pain in their back or somewhere, and he said, that's no problem. You've just repented of your sin. You just got a fiery dart in there. I'm going to pull it out. And I've seen him reach back there and put his hand around it and say, ugh! And instantly their pain stopped just like that. I've seen him do that. Isn't that amazing? These arrows, for the arrow that flies by day. Of course, over in the New Testament, Paul tells us that these fiery darts are being fired at us, doesn't he? He sure does. He said, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. There's death and destruction going on all around us every day, and if we walk in obedience to His Word, it will not come near us. I think about down there at Haiti. When I looked at some pictures the other day, there was a section of town that everything was totally destroyed. I mean, every building was just crumbled. And all the concrete columns out in front that all broken down, fell down, laying on the ground. But there's one standing out there with a great big gray granite cross on it with Jesus hanging on it. Anybody see that? Okay, you saw that. Wasn't that beautiful to think about there? That cross was with Jesus hanging right in the middle of all that devastation. And that didn't fall. I wonder who kept that up there. We wonder, huh? Verse 7 and 8. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Now let me ask you what kind of faith you're going to be walking in when I don't care if it's a plague, I don't care if it's bombs, I don't care if it's a nuclear weapon, I don't care what it is, but 1,000 people just fell at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. You're seeing people fall out like crazy, being killed or slaughtered or hacked to death or whatever you're seeing. And he says, it won't come near you. Isn't that awesome? Now then, where's your faith going to go when you're walking? I hope you're not going to be like Peter. When the Lord says, out there in the middle of the night, he's walking on that storm, on that sea, and it's a rough sea, and Peter says, Lord, if that's really you, let me come to you on the water. He said, come on. So Peter gets down out of that boat. I can just hear the rest of them Baptists back there, or Christians. That I was a Baptist. No, you fool, don't you get out there on that water, you'll drown. That sounds just like us, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound just like us as Christians? Sure. Peter walks across the water. Lord, I'm coming to you. And he's headed to him. And I can just see the devil saying, demons, stir up the winds and the waves. We're in big trouble. I mean, if we don't do something to get his eyes off of Jesus and get him on his circumstances, in a few minutes we're going to have all the rest of them Baptists out there on that water running around. And when we get all them Baptists walking on the water, we're in big trouble. You get a bunch of Christians walking on the water, you're in big trouble. You know that? Has that beast done a good job on us? He's done a good job on us. He's done an awesome job on us. He has lied to us, just like you said earlier. He's a liar. But he's done a good job lying, hadn't he? He's made us believe him. We have been defeated by the forces of darkness. But anyway, he did stir him up. And Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at the waves and the wind. And they go, whoa, what am I doing out here on this water? And all of a sudden, fear began to creep into his heart. When that fear goes in, what happens to faith? It goes away. And so he starts sinking. Cries out to the Lord, 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 save me. Oh, okay, Peter. So he goes over there. Then he reaches down, gets him out and says, get up. Pulls him back up on top of the water and he looks him right in the eye. And this is something we don't ever want to hear our king say to us. Peter, you of little faith. Why did you doubt my words? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Why did you doubt my words? Well, why do we doubt his word? He gives us all these awesome promises, doesn't he, young lady? And ain't just one or two of them, is there?
No.
They're all over the place. And we've just touched on a few today, but they're all everywhere, all through the book. He says, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take great faith when you start seeing this. When you start seeing people dying by your side. By your right hand. Especially when you start seeing 1,000, 10,000. You know what kind of faith it's going to take to walk through that? I thought about that show we saw the other night, the Book of Eli, as that guy was trying to protect that Bible. How probably 15 or 20 men attacked him at one time. And he said the Lord had promised him that he would protect him through this to get this book to where he wanted to take it. And that man literally was a fighting machine. And he literally killed, 15 or 20 men. He killed every one of them. Because they were there to kill him. But he killed them all. And he got through. And he got away. No problem. And somebody said, wow. That doesn't sound very Christian for the guy to be killing all those guys. Well, wonder what it sounded like when Samson killed 1,000 Syrians in one day with the jawbone of an ass. He didn't even have a sword. He just reached down, picked up an old dried jawbone of an old donkey laying out there and started whopping these Syrian soldiers in the head and killing them. He killed 1,000 of them in one day. Not 20, 1,000. And then, of course, Samson. You know, after he repented, and there he was in that huge temple, all held up by rock. Thousands of people in that thing that day. He said, God, renew my strength, and let me push this down and kill the heathen. God renewed his strength. And he pushed two big, giant stone pillars down with thousands of people on top of them. And that thing fell, and more people died that day in one day because of Samson than he had killed in his entire life all put together. Does God kill people through men? Yeah, he sure does. And that's not something new to God, is it? I mean, if God tells you to go out and wipe out everybody, you do what he says. You know, I hope he don't do that, but if he does, you know, we're going to do whatever he says, you know. You know, so I'm just, you know, he tells me to love everybody, but he's a God of love. But he will definitely hurt people, because he says right here, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. He's killing them right and left by the thousands and tens of thousands because of their wickedness. Well, that's why people are suffering today. That's why people in the church are sick and afflicted, because we have not put him first. That's why Ed Brock was dying with cancer that time, because Ed was been in church every time the door was open. Every time the door was open, Ed was in church. But that was only one day a week. When that says dwell in the secret place of the Most High, does it mean dwell in the secret place on Sunday? You think it means every day? 24/7. This young lady's got the right answer. So because Ed was giving God one day a week and his business 6 days a week, God struck him at 42 with terminal cancer. But because we anointed him with oil, God forgave him. And God healed that cancer. And Ed Brock, from 1986 till today, has never had a reoccurrence of cancer in his body. But let me tell you, he's put God first every day of his life. Made a huge difference in the way he done things. It's amazing how when God strikes a man with sickness and disease and he thinks he's going to die with terminal cancer, how when he heals him, he realizes, what did I do wrong? In fact, Ed asked me that question. Thurman, what do you think I did that brought this terrible, wasting disease upon me? I said, Ed, I have no idea. In 1986, I knew none of these things I know today. I didn't know them. I told him, I said, pray and ask God. He'll show you. He did. He prayed and God showed him. And when he come and told me the scripture he gave him, I read that. I said, oh my goodness gracious. I said, Ed, because you'd not put God first, he whacked you with terminal cancer. He said, no, Thurman, you ain't never going to make me believe that. I ain't never going to believe this cancer come from God. Where do you think cancer comes from? From God. Who do you think made cancer? God. They say, there ain't no cancer in heaven. There may not be, but there sure is a lot of it on earth. And he sure knows how to get your attention. There may not be no death and destruction in heaven, but there's a lot of it on earth, isn't there? Yeah. I mean, God can hurt you. I mean, he will hurt you. 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation or your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague or sickness come nigh unto your dwelling place. Now, making him, the Most High God, your dwelling place, does it have a great benefit package? I can't think of one better than that, can you, brother? I love his benefit package, don't you? And, of course, I really love the price. It's free. It don't cost me nothing. He paid it for it, and then he gave it to me. So he says, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh to your dwelling place. Verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and they shall bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. Let me tell you two little experiences I had with angels that I didn't get to see. Here a few years ago, I was rebuilding a little two-story house over here by my son's building, the field house. And I was raising some sheetrock up to the second floor so I could put it up there on this high lift truck. I built and designed a truck that goes up 9 feet straight up, and it's really handy when you're working in a second floor or putting shingles on a roof or anything else. So I had a bunch of sheets of sheetrock on there, probably 20, and in the middle of this truck, I've got a 2-foot by 2-foot hole framed out that I normally put a plate in that fits in perfect, that locks in, that so that there's not any place to step through. Well, if you're on the ground, you know, there's no problem. If you step through it, you step on the trailer hitch, which is about that far down, so it's not a big deal. But when you're 9 feet in the air, there's nothing down there. Well, one day I happened to be unloading sheetrock. I raised this stuff up, and I'm carrying it across the deck of the truck into the house right there in a little hole I'd put in the side of the house upstairs. I'm carrying the sheetrock up, and I'd reach down, pick up 2 sheets of sheetrock. I'd pick them up and walk across there and set them inside, come back, get 2 more. Well, when I got the last 2, when I stood it up and reached down and picked it up, I never thought to look down because I had left the plate off and there's that hole was there. And so when I took the first step, my right leg went through a hole. Here I am, 180-pound man, 9, 10 foot above the ground, with 2 sheets of sheetrock, which weigh, I don't know, 70 pounds, I guess, or whatever they weigh. Pretty heavy. But I got those there, and when I step, my foot, I just fall like a rock. As I go through, my left leg comes, folds up behind me. It tears all the meat off my left leg, plumb to the bone, as I'm falling through. And what do you think would be a very good word to scream? Not damn it. You don't think that would be a good word to speak? You don't think that would be a good word or whatever? You think Jesus might be a better word? That's exactly what's in a man's heart comes out where?
His mouth.
That's right. So I scream, Jesus! I mean, at the top of my lungs as I'm falling, I scream, Jesus! And here, a 180-pound man, I drop those 2 sheets of sheetrock. They hit right on their edge, standing right straight up on the side. And I fall through that hole. And, of course, it only takes a split second for all this to happen. As I go through, this leg comes through behind me, tearing all the meat off of it. And it comes through. And then, of course, it flops out in front of me down there. And now my arms are out like this. And I hit that hole right here. And a 180-pound man, technically speaking, should have broken both arms or both shoulders or whatever. Should have just ripped them off. But since I screamed Jesus, he reached down just as I hit. I reached down and it's like he just reached me by the nape of the neck and just whoosh, give me a little jerk. And I felt like I did this. And when I did this, it shot me completely back up through that hole. I'm laying down right beside the hole just in time to reach up to catch the 2 pieces of sheetrock so they don't even follow me. I said, Lord, praise the King. And it's real easy to praise God, you know. But when you really get something like this, it's real easy to praise God. And so anyway, my nephew come running out, Thurman, what happened? I said, well, I fell through the hole. And I said, but Jesus sent an angel. Well, did he say right there he sent an angel to pick me up? See? Isn't it wonderful what God does? He said in His Word, but if you're serving Him, He'll do what He says. Now, what if I'd have been a disobedient son? What if I'd have been obedient to His Word? Oh, I could be in hurt, big time hurt, son. I could be either dead. I could be both arms broke. I could be laying in the hospital, and I could be handicapped the rest of my life and not be able to move my arms anymore. You know, that's the alternatives. I didn't like either one of them. Do you? No, don't like either one of them. But I'll tell you what. I know what it was. I was just in such good shape and so young at 65. Every 65-year-old man, when he falls, he can just do like this and shoot himself plumb back up. Can't he? Have you ever seen a man could do that? No, me neither. Me neither. Never, ever, ever have I seen a man that could do that. But with the help of an angel, can you do that? Yes, there ain't no problem with the help of an angel. But anyway, let's see, what was the other one? I was going to tell you another one about an angel. I forgot what it was. That wasn't the one that had me. Anyway, I'll think about it in a minute. But the sheetrock and the deal over there, I had another one in my mind I was going to talk to you. No, that wasn't it either. It's amazing how many angel stories I got. I just think about them once in a while. I don't even remember all of those. But anyway, I will have to say that right there in Psalms 91, where he says he will send his angels and gives them charge over you and protect you. Oh, I know what it was. The one I was going to tell you was the one right out here when I was building our little house, our little apartment. I had poured the concrete, I had the walls up in it, and I had the thresholds down for the doors, but I didn't have any carpet or anything down. I didn't have a back porch poured or nothing there. And I started, it rained like crazy, and all that mud and silt had washed up right against the door. And I was going to go out one evening to go to the barn to get something, and I went through that doorway. And when I did, that threshold is sitting about that high. It's on top of a 2x6. So the threshold's sitting on top of a 2x6. So I got an inch and 3/4 and then another inch and a half for a threshold. And so it's sitting there that high off of the ground. And I just stepped over it. And when I did, I stepped right outside on the dirt. And when I did, that dirt was slick as glass. I mean, I left a streak 3 feet long where my leg went, you know, and as it did, of course, I'm going down backwards. And again, what would be a good word to scream? That's it. Jesus! I'm telling you, my arm came down. I hit right on that threshold of my arm and right across my back right there. And in one heartbeat, I'm standing back up and thinking, thank you, Lord, that didn't even hurt. I said, Lord, thank you. Now, when's the last time you fell backwards across a 3-inch threshold and it didn't hurt you? Let me tell you, get this in your spirit. Learn to praise and worship God and call on the name of Jesus. When somebody says, you know, you're just completely out there, I said, that's okay. It sure does pay good dividends to be out there. Don't y'all know it does? I mean, when you call on the name of Jesus, somebody says, well, now don't talk about Jesus. Oh, okay, I won't talk about Jesus.
There's that Jesus filling your faith stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But the thing about it is, if I don't obey Him, if I'm ashamed to proclaim Him, and I won't do what He tells me to do, and I don't make Him the Most High God my dwelling place, and I only get in my own bedroom at night after I close the door and get on my knees and say, Lord, I want to pray and ask You for something. I don't want to talk too loud. Make sure I don't just bother the people next door. I don't think you're going to get much from Him. Do you? But I'm telling you, when I fell across, I screamed Jesus, and I mean, I hit that thing, and I'm back up, and I didn't tell nobody about it. I just went ahead and worked, doing what I was doing. And that night, Cheryl said something about, what happened to that? What's that big old long deal out there in the mud? I said, well, that's where I slipped today. What? I said, yeah, I stepped out over this and forgot it was muddy, and my feet slipped out from under me, and I landed and hit straight on my back right across that threshold. She said, what? Pull your shirt off. I want to see your back right this minute. I said, ain't nothing wrong with my back. She said, it's bound to be bruised. I said, honey, there ain't nothing wrong with my back. She said, get your shirt off. I want to see it. Okay, girl. So I pulled my shirt off, and she pulled my T-shirt up. She's looking. She's on. I said, what do you see back there? She said, nothing. I said, that's what I told you. You're going to see nothing. And see, she's come a long way of faith since that day. You know, I mean, I love to tell the milk story on me and her. When we went out of town for 3 weeks, we come back, and there was a gallon of milk in the refrigerator, half a gallon of milk left in the refrigerator. And we come back, and of course, we've been gone 3 weeks. And so she reached in and gets that taste cap off, started pouring. I said, what are you doing, woman? She said, well, I'm pouring the milk. And I said, I want some of that milk. She said, no, you, honey, that's been there 3 weeks. You don't want none of that milk. I said, it's spoiled. I said, no. I said, if we'd have been here and we hadn't drank it for 3 weeks, it would have spoiled. But I said, we hadn't been here. So I said, God is not going to make our milk spoil. He's going to take care of it for us till we get back so we can drink it. She said, you got to be kidding. I said, no, it's good. I guarantee it's good. I said, pour me a glass. So she starts pouring a glass. And you can tell her great face. She says, well, it's not coming out chunks. See, he's got to train her just like he did me. Well, it's not coming out in chunks. She handed it to me, and I started to race. She said, well, aren't you going to smell it first? I said, no, that would be unbelief, and it would clabber in my hand. I said, ain't nothing wrong. I just turned it up and drink it, and it was sweet, smelled milk. And she, I said, here. I didn't get quite all drink. I said, here, have a drink. See? She said, little bitty tiny faith. She said, well, okay, it does take okay. So she drank it. I said, you know, it's a good thing we ain't working on your faith today. Are y'all beginning to get the point what faith really is? But now see, she's a different woman today. That was 5 years ago when she just first came into my life. Now then, boy, she's learning how to, she's got faith, great faith now. Boy, when she prays for you now, don't come back a few minutes later and say, I need you to pray for me again. She said, did I pray for you a few minutes ago? Yes, well then get over it. You're healed. Ooh, that sounds like a woman of faith, doesn't it? Some people get upset at her. What do you mean? You have no compassion. You know, I prayed for you. It's done. It's written in the Word.
Hallelujah.
Now see, is that the kind of faith we need?
Yes.
Yes, that's the kind of faith we need. He says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you're obedient, he will send those angels and there ain't nothing can touch you. I mean, but always keep that one name right on your tongue. The name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to use the name of Jesus, right? Okay, verse 13 and 14.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll tell y'all. Eldon wants me to tell that story about the angel. I've had so many wonderful stories with angels, but one day my son and I was down here, right here in the back 40 over here, and we was trying to get a great big old 1,500-pound Brangus bull out of my pasture. He had broken the fence down and got over in there with about a dozen head of cows that I had in there. And so we went down there to drive him out, and we couldn't drive him out. I got so angry with that bull. I mean, one time I got him separated, and he was trying to cut back in the herd of cows, and I literally ran in him with the front fender of the pickup. I was trying to get him to go the other way. I just rammed him with the pickup. But he just went on around me anyway and come right on back in there like I was trying to swat him with a fly swatter. Here I am with a 3,500-pound pickup and this big old bull. He's half as big as I am. So anyway, after all that, my son says, okay, Dad, that's it. He said, we ain't never going to get this bull out of here. We're going to have a couple of guys with a couple of horses and everything else. I said, well, son, we got help that you don't know about. He said, what do you mean? I said, watch this. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need an angel. I said, Lord, send me an angel. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, angel, I want you to go over there and grab that bull by the nape of the neck. I want you to raise up his head. I want you to take him out of that herd of cows. I want you to lead him right straight over there to that fence right there. And I want you to turn him north down that fence and carry him right down that fence line, right down yonder, about a quarter mile where I got the gate open. I want you to put him through that gate. Then I'll go down there and close the gate. I said, okay, son, let's get him. He said, Dad, what are you talking about? I said, come on, let's get him. So we started that away. So he's following me along. We get about right there next to the herd of cows, and that bull, all of a sudden his head comes up. He walks out of that herd of cows. He walks just straight to that fence. We walk right through that herd of cows. They move over. We follow him. The bull turns right. Tim and I are following along about 30 yards behind him, and where the bull's going, he ain't looking back. He's just going right down the road and right down the fence line. And all of a sudden Tim says, Dad, this is another one of your wild stories that if I wasn't here to see this, I wouldn't believe this. I said, son, you're going to learn one day that God's a faith God. He's given us as his sons and his daughters all power and all authority on the earth. He says we can ask for anything in faith and he's there to help us. I mean, I said, but you're not there yet, son. But I said, you know, you don't realize how lucky you are. I said, my dad never knew these things. My dad never walked in this kind of faith. I said, but my dad spent too much time making a living for us. He didn't have enough time to study God's Word. I said, now, I've worked hard for y'all to support y'all. But I said, I've also taken many hours to study this book. And I said, it's paid the greatest dividends of anything I've ever done. So with the name of Jesus, what can you do?
Everything
as a son of God. All you got to do is walk in obedience. According to this so far, we've got down through here, if you're obedient and make Him your Most High God, you dwell in Him 24/7, and you're talking about Him all the time, praising His name, how much sickness and disease did He promise you would not have in this? How much sickness and disease?
None.
Don't you like that?
Yes.
Is it worthwhile talking about Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it worthwhile telling people about Jesus? Somebody said, well, you know, I believe you're just a little bit radical. I love being well. I love being well. Don't you, AA?
Oh, yeah.
I love being well. Because there, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder. Now, this is Satan and his host of demons. The young lion and the dragon himself shall you trample underfoot. So if I'm walking in obedience to God's Word, how many of the devil and his demons do I have to be concerned about? None. I'm going to trample them underfoot. You're under my feet, you beast, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you can do it. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. What name do we know?
Jesus.
The name of Jesus. All right, verse 15 and 16. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with a short life. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now then, what's a long life? I don't know. I ain't been there yet. Yeah, I don't know what long life is. Somebody says, "Well, you know, I'm gonna believe God at least for, well, when you're 20 years old, a long life. Well, I'm gonna believe Him for 50 at least." Is that the way we think? And when you get to be 50, well, I'm gonna believe Him for 70. Okay. When you get to be 70, well, Lord, how about 90, Lord? When we get to 90, I was talking to a praying with a lady the other night on the phone. She said, "When my daddy was 90 years old, he fell out of the hayloft onto the ground and broke an arm and a leg. But she said, in 6 months, he was back on the tractor farming again. She said, when he reached 100 years old, I finally led him to Jesus. He got saved at 100. She said, at 101, he was so on fire for Jesus and began to read the Bible and learn all about it. One night he said, at 101, he went to bed and he said, honey, come over here and give your old daddy a hug. And so she said, I went over and gave my daddy a hug. He's 101 years old. He said, I just want to let you know how much I love you. But he said, you know, I'm so grateful for what God's done. I'm tired of fighting these battles here. He said, I'm fixing to go to the house. She said, oh, daddy. Yeah, he said, I'm gone. Said he laid his head back. Instantly dead. And that 101 years old. Now, what does Proverbs 18:21 say? Turn it over to Proverbs 18:21. Let's see what it says. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. What does that say there? Death and life are what? And how many people is going to eat the fruit of their tongue?
Those who make it a friend.
Everybody. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you want to die at 60, just say, I'm old and I believe I'm not going to make it past 60. Just say that enough times, guarantee it'll kill you. But if you believe you can live to be 90 or 100, do you believe you're healed? Do you really believe that Jesus... In fact, let me take you to a couple of places. Let me take you to a couple of places in Matthew 8:13. I want you to see something in Matthew 8:13. This is under our new covenant. It's such an awesome statement, but we don't let this soak in on us. We don't realize what we say and what we do and how it affects our life and the conditions of life. But look what Matthew 8:13 says. And Jesus said unto the Syrian, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Well, you notice anything strange in that verse? What is it? What is it that jumps off the page at you in that verse? What? As you have believed. As you have believed. In other words, wait a minute. Could it possibly be that I believe that I can't be healed unless a doctor does surgery on me? Then why do I have to... Then the guy says, you know, well, if I believe I can be healed... I've had lots of people come to me and say, you know, Thurman, I believe if you'll pray with me, and I'm going to the doctor tomorrow, and if you'll pray for me, ask God to direct that doctor's hand, he'll be able to do a perfect surgery on me, and I'll fully recover. I said, do you fully believe that? I fully believe it. Then can I pray the prayer of faith with him? Sure, I can. Absolutely. I can't pray for them to be supernaturally healed because their faith is not there. But their faith is there that with the doctor and me and him praying together, the doctor do a perfect job And God will send the angels to direct the hands of the doctors so the doctor will do a perfect job so he'll get completely delivered and completely well. Now, if that's where your faith is, hey, but let's go on down from here in Matthew 8. Let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. And let's see what this says. Because that one said, as you believe, so shall it be done unto you. Well, see, so too many people believe the wrong things. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, if Jesus took away your sickness, and then if he'd all is for you, then you think God wants you to be sick? But he also told you not to sin too, didn't he? And we don't do a good job there either, do we?
We don't.
We really mess up. In fact, he's so loving and kind. If the first time we sin, we'd all be dead, wouldn't we? If he made us sick or killed us, you know. But he's not that kind of God. He's merciful, he's loving, he's kind. He gives us space, and usually months and years. And he sends people to do everything to try to get our attention. And we don't listen. And finally one day he says, okay, it's time to get your attention. And so he zaps you with something that's really serious. And then you say, ooh, you got my attention. See, he don't want to go there. He didn't want to do that to us. Never. But sometimes that's the only way out. And he knows everything. He knows whether he's going to get through to us. He knows if we're going to be obedient. He knows whether we're going to yield or whether it's going to take a real time of sickness and disease to pound us to get us to do it. Now then, if God has to do that, then that's what he will do. Now then, Matthew 21, 21, Dave, and let's go look at that. Matthew 21, I believe it's Matthew 21, 21. I believe that's the one I want. Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith. What? If. Big word, isn't it? If you have faith and doubt not. See, now that demon of doubt, man, you've got to overcome that beast. If you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which was done to the fig tree. In other words, he spoke to the fig tree and it died. But also, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And then the next verse, 22. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Isn't that awesome? So why does anybody ever go to a doctor with all these? And I just hit a few of them today. We've only been at this a few hours. You know, and we just hit a few. I mean, I could go on for another 12 hours and still not even come close to touching them all. Isn't he awesome? And he give all those little golden nuggets to you and me. He tells us to walk holy before me, do everything I say, and you won't never have any sickness, never be no disease. If you repent of your sins, come and ask me for anything. I'll forgive you every time, and I'll heal you every time. But you got to believe. Now, sometimes you have to find the sin. Sometimes you don't know what the sin is. And so when you get prayed for, just like that woman over in Norway, when I prayed for her, I said, now, ma'am, you got every sin repented of? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, I've researched my life and I got them all taken care of. I said, you know that. Oh, yeah. I said, well, if I pray for you and you wake up in the morning and you're hurting worse than you are now, you didn't get them all. I said, so you need to... She said, well, if I do wake up in the morning, I'm hurting worse than I am now. How am I going to find out what it is? I said, there's only one I know that knows the answer, and that's the Lord. I said, you ask him. She come back to church the next night. Pastor, I went home that night after you prayed for me, and I woke up the next morning in gross pain. So she said, I went to God and said, God, what did I do that don't please you? She said, he immediately spoke to me and brought somebody to my attention that I had a grudge against 13 years ago. I hadn't even thought about him. Oh, my goodness. She said, Lord, I hadn't even heard of that woman in 13 years. She said, Lord, I forgive her. I promise I'll walk in love with her. And she said, lo and behold, in just a few minutes, all my pain was gone. And she said, I have no pain now. Isn't that wonderful? Why in the world don't we believe God? Good question, isn't it? walk holy before me, and I'll take all sickness away from you. You won't have any. He didn't say that once, did he? He said it over and over and over. But here's the good part. 1 John 1:9. You know what 1 John 1:9 says? Let's look at it. Just we've got to hit a couple more scriptures before we quit. If we confess our sins, see? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that an awesome God? It don't matter what you've done, how long you've been there, it's time to change. Now then, here's the thing. I had a man write me a letter the other day and said, "Now, I want you to know, I don't believe that when you say repent, I got to change and stay changed." Well, I mean, I have no compassion for people like that. I just write back and say, "Well, stay sick the rest of your life if you want to. It's okay with me." If you don't want to obey God and quit become a holy person like He said, you can just stay in your sin if you want to. You can go out and lie, and you can go out and run around with some other woman. You can lie to your wife. You can deceive people. You can do everything you want to. But you're going to die and go to hell. So you make the choice. I made mine. I'm going to walk holy before the King. I ain't going to be sick and in pain. But if you don't want to repent, or if you believe you can repent today and get healed, and then go back tomorrow and do exactly what you've been doing before, I said, that wasn't repentance. Repentance means turning away from. Well, I don't believe that. I said, well, okay, then, sir, I can't help you. Just be sick. You know, I ain't going to be dogmatic. I ain't going to just say, oh, okay. You know, that you can do whatever you want to do. God will let you. I just don't like being sick. I'd a whole lot rather obey the King and do what He says and get healed, hadn't you? Anybody in their right mind. But every once in a while you take one of these old boys, especially these boys. Rarely is it a woman, but once in a while you get one of them too. But usually it's a guy. You know, he's bigger than everybody else, you know. No, when it comes to God, you can be 500 feet tall and you're still just a teeny little pup. God is so big, you can't imagine how big He is. You know, His power. I mean, wow. He's beyond my wildest imaginations. So if we confess our sins, is He forgive our sins? Yes, He does. And so then we can ask on any one of those verses when you come up to be prayed for, as you come up to be prayed for, we will be happy to stand with you in prayer. And Cheryl and I will be up here. Eldon and them will be back there somewhere. And Pat's here and Sharon's here. And Dave will be back here. So we've got several people that can pray with you, you know. And of course, I got real tickled at Pat. Pat, where are you at? Oh, she's over here, hid out. Okay. She's hid out right there. The other day, Pat came to me and she said, "Pastor, I don't know what God's doing around here, but He must really be increasing your anointing." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I have prayed for 3 people today and every one of them got healed when I prayed for them." Don't we love that, Pat? Yeah, we love that. Of course, you know, Sharon's done the same thing. And oh, yeah, you got a question back there, sir? Yeah. Yeah, but that's not what that means. That's not what that means. I've had a lot. I used to believe that. I thought that's what it meant. And of course, I got into a discussion with a lady up in Branson, Missouri, about Noah worked on the ark for 120 years. I told her, no, that's not true. I said, you know, Noah's son wasn't born until he was 500, and then those boys had to be 15, 20 years old at least. So now he's 520 years old, and I said he went in the ark at 600 years. So I said, no, he didn't work on the ark 120 years. I don't know how long he worked on it, but in the process of all that, I was studying out the 120 years. Well, I come to find out it's 120 generations, or 100, not generations, but well, it could be generations, but time cycles or whatever. So now I clearly believe that the time cycles he's talking about there, the man's time on the earth will not exceed 120 years or 120 jubilees, which is 6,000 years. And so we're right there. Now, very, very closely, that's where we are. But the reason that couldn't mean what it says or what we think it says, because the way I look at it, and of course some people disagree with me, and that's okay, But God, when you say man's years in Genesis 6 are 120 years, if God said right there, man's years shall not exceed 120 years, then after that, how many people should live more than 120 years? None. But how many people did? Many of them. Many. Abraham lived 175 years. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of them lived 137 years, 140 years, all kinds of them. Well, now, nobody lived to be 900. Not at this time. Before that was spoken there, the flood had already come. And so man's, right, or the flood came right there, and at that time, the flood came, men did live to be 900, 800, 700, 900, 1,000 years old, or 969 was the oldest, and Methuselah, and he died. But then after that, if God says, when I bring them out, if their years shall be above 120, nobody should have lived above 120, but many of them lived above 120. So, study it out yourself. It's interesting studying. You know, that's one thing you'll never, if you ever get bored, get in the Bible and start studying it. There ain't no end to the study of God's Word. Now we have this Dr. Young. I told you he got his back healed. He has told us about some people in some foreign countries that eat certain kind of vegetation that live to be 130, 140, 150 years old. I mean, just recently. And so I don't know where those were. But so, I mean, we don't know who lives what, but that does not mean that man's years shall not exceed 120. In fact, before we close today, before we pray for you, let me really give you something to think about. And let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, and let's see what 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, if I'm in the right place. No, it's 2 Timothy 1, 10. 2 Timothy 1, 10. Yeah, that's the one I wanted. But now is made manifest. When?
Now.
Now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let's let that chew on that a little while. Chew on that a little while. If you really chew on that a little while, it sounds like if I can walk in faith, I have life immortal right now. It sounds like it. Well, let's go back to John chapter 8, verse 52, I believe. John 8, 52? 51. John 8, 51. Verily, verily. Now, I realize the guy that's saying this don't carry much weight. His name's only Jesus. Verily, verily, I, Jesus, say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall what? No, wait a minute. That's a little more than most of us can handle by faith, right? Is that more than most people can handle by faith? You ask anybody, are you going to die? Oh, yeah, everybody's got to die. Yeah. I even say that, yeah, because I can't go there. I'm not able to go there yet. Yeah. I might be able to live to be 150, but this says, if a man keeps my sayings. Now, if a man keeps all of Jesus' sayings, when's he going to die? Ooh, that means, in other words, he restored everything we lost in the garden, didn't he? We're supposed to live forever. That's something. Well, let's go then to John 11, 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Oh, you really do? Praise the Lord! Well, we find out. I'd give you something to shoot for, won't it, son? You see, when I say study the Word of God, it's an awesome book. It's more than an awesome book. Yeah. Now you want to know how I've walked 71 years and all these last few with no sickness and disease and still a young man? I studied the book. It's just like when Dave told that guy the other day, when I'm jumping around on them propane tanks like a teenager, which I really am, you know, 17-year-old teenager, jumping around, putting that chain on. The guy said, how old is that guy? They said, oh, I think 71 or something like that. He said, man, I hope I can get around like that when I get to be 71. They said, you serve God like He does and you will be able to. Now, why can I get around like I get around? Because I put God first. I walk with Him and He gives me my energy. Amen. I certainly do, young lady. Absolutely, I do. Yeah.
Rejuvenating yourself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, yeah. And when somebody says something, you know, about, gee, how old are you? I said, 71. I said, gee, you look young. I said, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I speak to this body in the name of Jesus. I mean, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There ain't nothing impossible with me. You know, I don't you love it? Oh, I got this beautiful young wife up here. Wow. I mean, I will have to say she's just a little older than me. She's 26. See, she's 26. I'm only 17. But she's 26. See, I turned her numbers around too, see.
Next year, you're
27. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'll catch up with her next year, won't I? What I mean, what is it? Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for your word. It's such an awesome, awesome book. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for the great revelation you give us. And Lord, we have so much fun talking about your word. You're such a mighty God. Lord, that's what we're here for, just to teach one another about the word of God and the things you've shown me. I'm trying to teach it to your people, Lord, so they'll be able to learn how to walk in faith, so they'll walk in divine health, so they'll put you first, because this is what you want them to do, Master. You want the people to love you, to worship you, and to praise you. That's all you want any of us to do. And Lord, we want to do that. And we want to praise you and thank you for forgiving all of the sins of everybody that's here, all even ours. Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for meeting every person's need that's prayed for today. It don't make no difference who prays for them, Lord. You're the one that's going to be there with them to heal them. It ain't going to be me or Cheryl or Eldon or Nancy or Sharon or Pat or Dave. It's going to be you, Lord. It makes no difference. Lord, you're the healer. We just get to pray for people. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for the privilege to stand in the gap with you and to see you do the great and mighty things, how you touch your people and how they, as they get rid of every sin today, when we pray for them, you're going to forgive them and you're going to heal them. You're going to take away their pain. You're going to just make them a new creature in Christ, and you're going to really change them forever. And they're going to walk close to you, holy before you, and they're going to put you first in everything they do. They're not going to be ashamed of you anymore, but they're going to worship you and praise you in church. They won't be ashamed to raise their hands in church and worship you and praise you. They may come from a church that don't raise their hands, but Lord, let them be the first ones to do it. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for blessing them, for being obedient to your word. And I praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.